Did you bring enough blueberries for everyone?
A, they're blackberries.
Son of a... I always get blueberries and blackberries mixed up.
And two, you don't... You would not... You would hate a blackberry.
Is it really sweet?
No. It's actually the exact opposite of that.
You know what I like to do?
But
I
I'm going to give you... Will you taste it? Have you ever had one?
Yeah, throw one over here. You throw a blackberry? Or is it a blueberry?
Can you catch a blackberry?
It was the worst throw ever.
It was, sorry. Just...
Is it a blackberry? I've forgotten. Blackberry or blueberry?
Blackberry. It's blackberry.
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 It's a Kanye
Bam
berry.
Blam.
Kanye berry. Oh, blackberry. Bam blam.
No? You're going to hate it so much.
Oh, it's so tart. It's so tart. Oh.
Yeah.
And it's
seedy.
There's little seeds in it.
Uh-huh.
I take a strawberry.
Uh-huh. Dip it in sugar.
No, like equal. A mixture.
Oh, God. Even worse.
A mixture of equal and a sweet and low. And pop that in your mouth. God, is it good.
My kids went somewhere and spent the night with someone, and I can't tell you who it was. I just can't remember. Because if I remembered, I would kill them. But they were like, so then they came home and they were like, can we have orange? Sure, yeah, let's peel an orange. Where's the sugar? Do what? Someone gave them orange slices and then sprinkled sugar on top.
You can remember who it was.
No, honestly, I can't. I can't. It's probably someone very close to me, but I can't.
Well, how
I
long
just
ago
blocked
was
it out. So long ago that they're still scarred by my reaction.
They cared, in other words, what you said.
Yeah, I was like, you guys. Strawberries? Yeah, I could never. Why would you ever put sugar on strawberries?
This is the way Jimmy starts his podcast. He talks for, like, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes, and then the guest comes in.
Is that the free part?
Yeah. It's the Players Club, too. They use the same formula for that, I think.
Oh.
That's right. Jimmy Pardo is our guest today, and we're both very excited.
Woo! Party!
I went to see him last night at Morty's here in Indianapolis, and he absolutely killed, naturally. What are you doing? Opening your purse?
Mm-hmm. My fanny pack, actually.
But last weekend, I went to see...
Bob Schneider
in Chicago, and he told me after the show that
I'm so sorry. I feel bad when I do that. I thought when you paused, I thought you were waiting for me to respond. But then when I do that, and I feel like I've done that like 7 or 8 times since we started the podcast, like you'll ask a question, not necessarily for me to answer, but I feel like Christy.
No,
she's eager to answer the questions.
Right, right.
You're
not wrong. No, you're doing fine.
Okay.
After 150 episodes, you're doing fine.
We have 150 episodes.
Well, 149 with you. You weren't on the first one. This is.
Can we just let that go?
This is your 150th episode.
It is?
Yeah. I was on the first one by myself.
No, it's not because I was at the Children's Museum one time.
That's right.
I have a couple of absences.
But you were on the episode, though.
It was, but I think there's one. I wasn't with Lewis Black.
Oh, that's right. You didn't even call in for that.
No. Right. You guys were like all boyfriends.
Yeah, fuck a bunch of numbers then. Anyway, Bob Schneider told me after the concert, first of all, he said, are you holding your phone up so you can look at your teeth to see if you have blackberry stains on them?
I didn't know that they would stain that ad. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So I go backstage, and Bob Schneider, I still can't get over...
how handsome he is?
And we have each other's cell phone numbers,
mm-hmm,
and each other's email addresses, uh-huh, and we talk not all the time, once or twice a month.
Occasionally.
Even more so, obviously, when he's in concert. But he had no sooner left the stage than my phone, he texted me and said, come on back, we're backstage, come on back.
Yeah.
So I went backstage, and Jason was with me. You remember Jason. As someone referred to him, he's the ex-wife of the podcast.
Is he really? Somebody
That's
said
what
that?
Somebody said on Instagram. But so we're sitting back, and Bob, we're shaking hands. He goes, hi, how you doing? And I go, great, Bob, how you been? He looked at the doorway thinking you were going to walk in.
Oh.
And he goes, where's Jess? And I go, she couldn't make it. She's got them babies and stuff. He goes, oh, I know what that's like. Scarlett Rose Schneider, his newest baby is 6 months old.
Oh, that's such a fun age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They took her to their first show, and he said, man, she could not take her eyes off of me when I was on stage.
Aww.
Yeah. And he said that they had her fitted with little baby earplugs.
Aww. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, very cool.
Did you meet his wife? Was she there?
No, Laura was not there. But the drummer, whose name I still can't remember.
That's me.
Was insanely good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a different drummer. It's not Conrad. He's a different drummer than Bob's used before. And he's like 25, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But just an unbelievably great player. So I'm backstage, and Bob's introducing me around. And the drummer, and I go, man, you were great. And he goes, are you Chick McGee from the Bob and Tom Show? And I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, my God, I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I listen to the Bob and Tom Show every morning, and you're my favorite. It was just,
aww.
It was really great.
That is cool.
But then Bob said, I don't play those songs unless a combination are here.
Right.
And I go, what?
He doesn't do Mudhouse or?
What are you talking about? And he go, I don't do Mudhouse or 40 Dogs. I do 40 Dogs as an encore. I don't do it up front, but then I do Mudhouse as an encore if you guys are here. Did you know that?
I didn't. I'm really upset that he's not going to be in Indianapolis.
Yeah. I asked him about it, and he said, I don't know what happened. I thought we had a great show and lots of people, but it just didn't get scheduled this year. Here's what Bob sounds like at the end of his concert. Guess what song he plays?
I don't know.
And then he has the audience sing.
Right. Ain't got no dough. I remember this.
Got some 40s.
Last year I was up on the picnic table doing this. Remember?
I do. I do.
My two favorite male listeners were with me, and I'm so sad. I feel like we have to have a party at the Rascaler.
Oh, we should absolutely have a party at the Rascaler.
With or without Bob.
No!
No, Bob can't be there, so
oh, that's
we
true.
Still have to just have a summer party.
Here we go. We'll take it out. Listen, here we go.
Okay.
So that was Bob Schneider last week in Chicago, and he plays Mudhouse at the end of his concert just for us, and we're very excited. And thank you, Bob. And BobSchneiderMusic.com for all things Bob, and he'll be back on the podcast at some point, right? That's going to happen. Why not? Daggone it.
Oh, I feel so bad. Some guy just said, I bought Milbourne's this morning because of how fun you made it sound on the podcast. Can't wait to play. Well, unless you play with my dad.
Your dad's an aggressive game player.
Yeah.
Maybe we could play Milbourne at the party at the Rathskeller. Why couldn't we do that? What have you been up to? Where have you been? What do you
know what I love? I love bingo.
Uh-huh, bingo.
I want to play bingo. Can we play bingo?
I love bingo. I got a bingo game right by my house every week.
You do?
I think it's Tuesdays. At the VFW.
Oh.
They play...
We have Texas Hold'em at the Lions Club, New Pound Tuesdays.
I bet you have bingo there too, probably.
I don't know. Oh, my armpits are sweaty. No, look, I'm using natural deodorant.
Again?
Yeah.
When are you going to let that go?
I don't know, but I don't want Alzheimer's, so I don't need any extra things in my deodorant.
Do you think I have Alzheimer's? I've used the hard stuff for years. I've used the stuff with silver acid.
Can you remember what it's called?
Koopy. No.
Maybe that's Alzheimer's.
And I've had diet sodas all my life, and I'm not losing any.
You're really hard on the Diet Pepsi right now, aren't you?
Oh, my God. I can't get enough.
How many are you drinking?
I mix my Diet Pepsi with vodka.
I thought you were going to say I mix my Diet Pepsi with Diet Pepsi.
You know what this Diet Pepsi could use?
Some more Diet Pepsi.
More Diet Pepsi?
I had a friend that used to drink it like that, diet and vodka.
That was me.
No, it wasn't.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Did you do anything last night? This is interesting. Did you do anything last night?
I did.
Just hung out at the house, or did you go out to a bar, or had a beer?
We went to dinner.
Went to dinner?
Yeah. Got some food. Got some school supplies. You know, just the important stuff.
You know how much I loved shopping for school supplies when I was a kid.
You know that game we play where one of us says, you know how much I love, and then we pause, and you think you're going to say you, and then you don't.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
You just did that.
I know. Well, you did it earlier. Thought I'd pay you back.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I love bingo.
Remember? I do love bingo. Oh, I didn't realize I did a bad pause. Sorry.
Well, that's part of the fun of it. Neither one of us realize what the other one knows, but the other one doesn't. That's the fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Secret games. My point is, I went to Morty's last night here on the beautiful north side of Indianapolis.
Did you have sushi?
No, I did not. I had...
pickle spears?
Yesterday afternoon, I was home.
Did you have slightly overweight women hitting on you all night?
Home with the dogs.
Uh-oh.
I did, and that's one of them now.
It's my mom.
Don't answer. Act like you're not here. Are you going to answer the call?
Hello?
Good morning.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, isn't that nice?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. You over at Dylan and Jordan's?
No, I don't like them.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm doing a podcast.
I know you are, goofball.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I know you're kidding.
Oh, I thought you knew I was doing a podcast.
Now,
no,
Jess
I'm doing a podcast
across,
this morning.
She's across the room talking to
me. Oh, you
mom.
Are?
Yeah. Well, I usually do them at the studio.
Well, I thought maybe you were doing it at Gen Con or something.
Oh, no. But thank you for...
But her mom can't hear me. She can only hear...
Yeah, so...
Yes. You guys are just so popular.
We are.
That can't... That seems snotty
and hurtful. Are you going over here later than today?
I don't plan on it. I kind of have a busy day today. We start school on Monday.
Ooh. How's the babies?
They're good.
Well, I'm going to be out that way today, so I might just crash your day and come visit.
Great.
I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. Would you like to try that again?
Can't wait, Mom. Can't wait.
Oh, that was much better.
I leave the enthusiasm up to the kids. They'll be excited.
They are happy to see me. They love Mama.
I appreciate you calling this time instead of just showing up like you did last time.
When did I do that?
A couple weeks ago when Addie was sick.
That's because you wouldn't answer your phone.
Oh, huh.
Wow, that really escalated.
Am I blocked?
Don't you think?
No, you're not blocked, but I think, I don't know. I guess if, okay, well, yeah. So if I don't answer your calls, you just show up.
Can we have her call every podcast?
That is one time in how many years, child.
I know.
I am not one of those rude people that just show up at your door and you know it.
She really can't hear me. I don't know how long we should continue this.
Huh?
I've never disrespected you by just showing up.
Okay. Oh, okay.
This disrespect thing is a big deal.
That's the other side of the family, not me.
That's the other
okay.
side of the
I'm
family.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let's not get into that.
No, you're not.
Okay.
But heaven forbid, I guarantee you, it will never flip and happen again.
Okay, Mom, I'm sorry I brought it up. I was
now,
just joking.
Now, if history
okay, so
this
so what we're going to do is
gonna
go you're going to...
On about 20 more minutes.
Yeah. If you're going to...
call before I ever show up at your doorstep again.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
We have got to have her call every podcast now.
So you're going to go help Jordan and Dylan, and then you're going to come to my house?
No, not unless I get an invitation.
Mom, you can stop by if you want to.
Please stop by,
Mom.
Thank you, sweetheart. That would be lovely. You're not going to be home all day, are you?
No, probably not. No.
She had to hear
I will that. Be. I'll be home this afternoon. For
she,
a little while.
She hasn't dawned on her that I'm in the studio.
Of course, it doesn't have the alarm code, so I can't even stop in and see the dog.
Well, I'm sorry, Mom.
We run a pretty tight.
That's okay. People in the family can be bought.
Right.
What happened?
What
the fuck did that mean?
What? I don't know what that means.
The alarm code is at Jesse's house.
Oh. Well, sorry.
Anyway, well, I'm sure that you have enjoyed this conversation with me.
I have very much. Thanks for calling, Mom.
Yeah. Well,
no.
Are you sitting by Chick?
No, hey, Chick.
Do what?
No, nothing.
Are you sitting by Chick?
Yeah, I'm sitting by Chick, yeah.
Tell Chick I said hi.
Oh. Hi, Andrea.
He says hi, Andrea.
How are you today?
I'm fine, darling. How are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, of course I can hear you.
Okay, good.
You got that broadcaster's voice. It projects.
I know. I have a very sexy voice, don't I?
Oh, God, fuck, damn.
Well, remember that first time you called the house?
Oh, yeah.
You called his phone, and she told me to answer it. And I answered it, and I went, whoa, I don't know who that is, but, man, I'll marry him in RB. That voice is sexy. She goes, Mom, that's Chick. It's like, Chick, sorry. He is close to my age, but sorry.
You had to get it in, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You had to give me the shot.
Yep.
You know what?
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. No, I don't.
I think if I talk like this, she can't hear me. Yeah.
In a different world, who knows? Maybe Chick and I could have made things work.
Yep. Maybe you could have.
No. I'm going to stop. I'm going to be mad.
Okay. Okay, have a good day.
So we'll see you this afternoon, maybe, if we're home.
No, you won't. But it gives you something to look forward to, just in case.
No, just keep me on my toes all day.
Well, if I come by and honk, could you send the grandkids out so they can at least see grandma and get
out? I will. I'll send them out to the curb.
That'd be great. Let's tell them they're practicing waiting on the bus.
There you go. All right.
Run them in every so often.
Are you really going to help Jordan paint today?
No, because Jordan's moving today.
No, she's not. She's moving next weekend.
Well, she told me. See, it's a trick.
No, you need to call her because some things have changed
it's
in the last 24 hours. She called me. Yeah, she called me really upset last night, so you should probably call her. I don't have time to do that today. Can you do that for me?
You owe me.
Yeah, yeah, Mom. Jump on that grenade. All right, I got to go. I have a podcast to do.
All right.
Good
to see you have your priorities straight. If I die and this is our last conversation, I hope you don't carry a ton of guilt throughout the rest of your life.
I answered the phone, Mom.
Well, yeah, that's better than usual.
Yeah, all right.
Bye, sweetheart.
Okay.
Love you, sunshine.
Love you, too, Mom. Bye.
Bye.
I hope everyone else enjoyed that as much as I did.
Now we should have periscoped that because it probably, I'm sure it transferred. Why?
Now think for a minute.
I don't know if she knew she was on.
You know how many times she's told me I've had a sexy voice?
Oh, I'm guessing a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who knows, in another world.
In another world, you and my mom could have. Hey, you know, there's still a lot of life to live.
It's not late. It's not too late. Is it too late? It's not too late.
Oh, my God. How weird would that be for everybody but her?
I'm pausing because I'm thinking, do I cut this part out or not?
No, I don't think that. No, she's just not. Like, I'm not saying it just wouldn't be weird.
You know, it's like I say about a lot of people that I know and have come in contact with and aren't necessarily my friends, but I've observed their behavior and
it takes a lot to make something weird to my mom. Like
exactly.
She just takes it and whatever and rolls with it.
And think about how wonderful that quality would be if you could have a little bit of that.
Oh, sure.
Just so.
Yeah.
Hey, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Yeah. I'm happy. This is cool. Oh, my God. Or nothing affects me. Better yet, it didn't even happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5 minutes past it. It's over. I'm on to the next thing.
Right.
How exquisite and wonderful that would be.
Or if you really piss her off, she can suck the life force out of anything and like make it like really.
But you know, what do you say? She and I probably are even better friends than we know because we've been in that fight. She and I have been in that fight where she was going to kill me or I was going to kill her, and we're past it, and here we are still friends.
I don't know if friends is the word.
Yeah, it's probably not the word. That's a little strong, I would think.
You guys you're cordial. Cordial's a word, right?
Here, let's stop and we'll go wait for Jimmy. You sit right there.
Right here?
Turn that mic on.
You or me?
Both of us, I guess. We better do what he says. Okay. He sounds serious.
All right. He said it does sound serious. You didn't do it, though. What do I do?
On.
Right there. See where the headphone plugs in? You're on, baby.
I never knew that was a button. I thought that was all controlled from there.
Did you get some sleep last night?
Not nearly. Yeah.
No, I mean.
You know, I guess I do. No.
Isn't that the worst possible thing in the world, though, not being able to sleep?
The worst.
I hate it.
Right?
And the older I've gotten, the less I sleep, and it's irritating. If I don't take melatonin by the fistful.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't sleep, and I still don't sleep longer than 4 hours in a row, ever. When's the last time you slept more than 4 hours in a row?
Last night I got a nice 4.5. You know, I can sleep. I'm about 6. I sleep 6.
You like 6?
But I can't remember the last time I slept more than 6. No, I don't like 6. I would like more than 6.
You know, they say you're supposed to have 7.
Oh, I always thought it was 8.
8. I thought 8.
No, 7. 7 is 8. 8, mm-hmm. 8 makes you loogie.
8's too much?
8 might be too much. What do you got there? We're doing some drugs? We got dope? We're going to do some dope?
Those are a courtesy of your boy, Mike O'Neill.
Oh, my swell doctor, my dentist. Did you hear this story? You might not have heard this story.
Young Lexi came to the show last night. You know Lexi?
Lexi, I don't.
She's one of his big bosomed assistants.
Julie and Jill, and I have not met
who's
Lexi.
Who's this Lexi then?
I don't know.
He just grabbed some girl walking by. Seriously, I'm opening up. I need somebody in here. Mm-hmm. I had a little dental emergency.
Ooh.
And I couldn't sleep the night before I was flying here because I was in so much pain. So I was Googling 24-hour emergency dentists in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
So that when I landed, I could immediately go to the dentist. And so I texted him and said, hey, I got to go to the dentist as soon as I land there. What do you know about these people? In case he would go, oh, no, fuck, don't go there.
Right, right, right.
There's a lawsuit.
No, I didn't say that. I said, I have no idea about
there's
this.
There's a number of dentists he would have told you not to go to.
Well, he told me.
That's true. Yeah. And I said my guy, my regular dentist, not the guy who does my root canal. Mm-hmm. I won't see him again, but my regular dentist, great guy. I told Jimmy, I said, let me check in and see if they can help you. So Dr. Michael O'Neill in Fishers, Indiana, they send me a text back and goes, yeah, have Jimmy call this.
Text your dentist?
Well, they text you with appointments and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know? So I texted that number and Julie, the one of the NASCAR fan, she's been there forever.
She was not there.
She texted me back and said, I have Jimmy call this number. Dr. O'Neill would love to help him. And Jimmy lands at 5:30.
Jimmy landed at, I was supposed to land at 6:18. I landed at 6:45.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
So he was there. I got there at 8 p.m.
Wow.
And he and Lexi were there waiting.
How nice.
And they
no kidding.
Took until about 9 o'clock we were done, about an hour.
Wow.
And he fiddled around. He didn't really find he thought it was an infection or whatever, so he gave me some medicine. He worked on it and it feels, I'm gonna say, 98% better.
Yeah, but you still have a little.
But he said it would take a couple of days if this is what it is.
Okay.
It'll take a couple of days to
feel like you always, not always, but there's been twice.
Couple of times.
Are we on the show? Is this the program?
Yeah, this is the program.
That twice.
Is that true?
Yeah.
There was no ramp up. There was nothing.
No, we haven't played the intro yet. We've got music.
Will.
And then you just say, put your headphones on. I don't know what's happening. I'm having a conversation here.
Is this your first podcast?
I run a professional show where
hang on a second.
Let's get started. I press a button
hang
with
on,
the
Jimmy.
Beep sound.
What we like to do is Jess and I like to talk for 20, 25 minutes.
That's not true.
And then the guest comes in.
We've never done
and
that.
And then we let them talk.
That's not true.
No,
he just wanted to do it that way today
because
that's how you do it.
Oh, I see. You're making fun of me.
No, I'm not making fun of you.
So you guys already did some shows.
This is an homage.
Tribute.
Yes.
Well, then how about an intro? Because I don't know that I'm part of the program. You just start talking to me, and I'm running my mouth about the dentist. I say big bosom Lexi. I don't know I'm on the air.
No, he'll edit. He edits.
I think Lexi probably knows she's got big boobs.
She showed him probably last night at the comedy club. That's
and her
sexist.
Name's Lexi.
Sexist?
No, that's observation. And her name's Lexi. I feel like she should.
Is that a sexy name, Lexi?
I feel like sexy Lexi. Yeah, exactly.
Now. I'm talking like Jimmy Pardo. Sexy name? We got a question here? What's going on? What?
I feel like Lexi is a name that goes with a girl with big breasts. Or a puppy.
Jimmy, you know I am not making fun of you.
I know you're not.
You are, without a doubt, if you're not my favorite standing up comedian, I don't know who it would be.
Oh my gosh. Thanks.
Oh my
absolutely.
God. Oh my God.
Thank you. We had fun last night, didn't we?
We had a great time. Oh, you were killing last
night.
Thank you.
Good first show, great second show.
And not only. You just said that because I left for the second show.
Second show was, you know how the first show, maybe 30 people gave a standing ovation?
Yeah.
The entire room, the second show.
Oh,
and you know what?
Jim.
There are times where I get a standing ovation and I'll go, oh, boy, that's really nice. You know,
I'm legitimately
like, oh, that's nice. But there are times where I'm on stage and I go, if it doesn't happen this show, something's crazy.
Right.
And second show yesterday was one of those like, thank you. It's like, because there was no other emotion to come but to let their hero know. They were very happy with what they've seen.
They got to stand up.
They have to.
It goes back to the last time
you were
on the podcast.
Put your headphones on.
You had a good audience.
The last time I was here.
We talked about you can have a shitty audience or you can have a good audience. Or that they're responsible for.
They're 100% responsible.
This is one of my. Are you not listening? Turn that up. Turn it up a minute. Can it not
you don't
hear
like them?
You
don't like these headphones.
Okay.
Like these
headphones. Here's another.
I see three sets in front of me. I know I have. Oh, Jesus.
That was close.
God.
No, that's a bad one.
Is that a bad one? Okay. Anyway.
I'm listening.
When I asked you that question the last time you were on the podcast, I said, for the longest time. You're doing prop stuff? I, for the longest time, had thought, I don't care. A good comedian is always funny no matter what the audience brings. But you brought up it's possible to get a shit audience. And I didn't believe that until you told me that. And now I believe it more every day.
Oh, I think you can get a horrible audience. We probably talked about it with a gentleman who's in the news lately, Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's president?
Oh, geez, I meant Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld, you know, he always says it's never the audience. And I think that's BS. I think that's, you know, that's pride and ego talking.
Of course you can get a bad audience.
Of course you can.
Of course.
You go into a town, you don't know why, you know, or there's a vibe in the room, there's an energy, you don't know. But Jerry is spot on, in my opinion, on him saying that, you know, that we're getting a little too PC, we're getting a little too, you know, comedy's being taken too seriously these days, where, you know, you can't get away with a joke like you could have in the old days, and, you know, this new generation's too sensitive. I do believe that is 100% true.
That was illustrated last night and yesterday on the Bob and Tom Show, actually, and because you said something negative about Ted Nugent.
I did, yeah.
But that whole
break, I listened, and that was the only break I was able to listen to yesterday. And also, somebody said something about delete, and Tom said, that sounds like an NFL player.
Oh, yes,
he
did.
And you said, yes, black people have funny names, and he goes, I didn't say that. And I was like,
but that is what you said.
But that is what you said.
That is what you said.
That was the premise of the piece.
And then he did the joke again.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened?
I think that's a fine joke, by the way. I think
that's
for him to say
joke.
Delete is that sounds like a football player.
Yeah.
If you're offended by that, you're an idiot. I mean, it's comedy. It's a comedy program.
Right.
You're not with your buddies at the bar going, yeah, delete. That sounds like...
How about them people?
You know what I mean? You're not doing that. There's a difference. And that's what people don't understand. There's a difference between doing it like that with your buddies and you're drunk and you're playing darts. No, nobody makes that joke playing darts, but yeah, you know you're playing bags.
Nobody played darts.
You know you're playing that stupid beanbag game out by your car, waiting for the Colts to start.
Cornhole, you know, like gay people do. Cornhole, in the butt.
I don't believe in that lifestyle, but I hear what you're saying.
Are you doing Tom jokes now?
No, I'm doing comedy. Okay, never.
But yeah, yes, I agree. Go ahead.
No,
what was the Ted Nugent? I'm sorry.
Oh, I said that Ted Nugent.
Because he's a homophobe and he's a
racist.
Yeah.
Which, by the way.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. If you any interview that he gives,
any averaged intelligence person would listen to Ted Nugent and they, oh my gosh, that's probably not the way you should think about that. And you,
but I think Ted Nugent would tell you that.
I would too.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Here's their argument.
Tell her about the email you got.
Well, here's the. I got. I'll tell the tweets first. The tweets I got first were as I was on the show. I got a tweet from a guy, and it's always this argument because at one point he had a black drummer. And then he had Marco Mendoza on bass, who I believe, I'm not 100% sure what his
That's
background
a familiar
is.
Name, yeah.
Marco Mendoza?
Marco Mendoza.
He's a great bassist.
Yeah, yeah.
Great bass player, Marco Mendoza. What is that? Maybe...
He was some sort of Mexican, Spanish?
Yeah, Spanish. Maybe a Spanish.
Latino? Latino,
right? Yeah,
a conquistador.
Yeah.
He did
some tostada in his roots there
tostada
somewhere?
This, tostada that.
We've got a million inside jokes from his podcast.
From my show.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's their argument. It's like, Ted, how could Ted be a racist? He had a black guy play a drum. Well,
right.
I don't know. Because he still is.
Yeah.
You know, he just hired a guy who we thought was best for the job. Doesn't mean he's, you know, not. So that argument doesn't
hold
water.
I'm guessing this is my opinion, but if Ted hired him, he's got his eye on him. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Right. And how many drumsticks are missing after that show? I mean, let's keep that in mind.
Right.
You know, Ted's like, he counts the drumsticks after every show.
You're darn right.
But that argument doesn't fly. It's like, the guy goes, could you care to back that up? Yeah, read any interview. Read any interview by
mm-hmm.
Ted Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the whole premise, and I love what people heard, is like I said, you know, that I used to go to every concert.
Mm-hmm.
I love his music. I think he's a great guitarist. I love the sound he gets from his guitar.
Sure. Oh my God, you can tell the Ted Nugent story now in all its glory.
Which one?
The best thing you heard at a concert.
Oh, I will. Okay. So, but all the guy heard was But I stopped going because he's a racist homophobe. All he heard was that.
Right.
And then that was him. And then another guy on Twitter said, connected me with Ted Nugent. You know how they do that. Hey, right. Ted Nugent.
Guess what?
At Jimmy Pardo just called you a, you know, whatever. And then I got emails.
Many.
Of just literally. My favorite part is they all included the F word.
Sure.
F-A-G.
Sure.
One, my favorite was, how dare you call him a homophobe, you fucking faggot?
Oh, my gosh.
I think you may have just answered my... You may have just... Maybe you solved
that mystery. Mind.
You liberals, how does me calling a guy out, like, that's what I love about this great world that we live in. Ted Nugent can go on there and defend hunting. He can defend all of his nonsense. Uncle Teddy knows what he's saying. These liberals got no right to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what
the world we live in. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I don't.
I'm not even liberal or conservative. It doesn't even matter what I am. It's fact.
Yeah.
It's fact. And again, great guitarist. The sound he gets.
Yeah.
Stranglehold. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You know what? Stranglehold. All of everything I've said about Ted Nugent aside, it's minimum top 10 songs of all time for me.
Stranglehold, yeah.
Might even be higher.
Cat Scratch Fever, not so much.
It's a Weird Al song in disguise.
But Stranglehold, that opening and the guitar, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And I've never seen him in concert do it, but I can't imagine.
It's great.
Yeah.
You saw him
do that in concert?
I did see him again. Nice lead in.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
You did really good.
I love the story though.
This was by the way, this was at a show where he that former drummer of his was in the audience and he said, "Hey, smile so everybody can see you." So that's, you know, okay. Now one could argue, I'm making a joke, brother. Mm-hmm. I'm making a joke. I'm on stage. I'm doing a joke.
See, you know what? And I recently watched the Frank Sinatra biography on HBO, which is magnificent. It's mm-hmm. like five or 6 hours. It's
oh, my God.
But the things they said to Sammy Davis Jr.
That seems so long.
Oh, but it covered everything, and it was great.
Well,
and,
I would fucking hope so for
but,
6 hours.
I mean, the things that they said to Sammy on stage, like, you know, like
back. Oh, the things they would. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm following
back
you
of the
now.
Bus
okay.
stuff and
oh, nice.
Nicknamed of Smokey. And
like,
you know, and
just well, nuts.
I don't care. Yeah. He's one of us. Stuff like, I mean, it was just no. But somehow Sinatra defended it. But in his brain,
well,
he
isn't it that? But isn't that the thing? So if you have a minority friend in your group,
then
that's okay to make the jokes because then there's a witness.
Is that
that's what I'm saying. Like, but that's the mentality of ignorant right. white males. Sorry,
well,
but it is.
Well,
yeah, let's not just make it males, please. That means females are also can be racist.
Yeah, broads can
minded.
Be.
Well, the problem with chicks, and you know this, chick.
I know this.
You know, you've taken a lady's name for your own. Taking a derogatory term towards the ladies.
Hey, wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. It's the podcast. See, this is how we do this. Thanks for coming back to the Off the Air podcast. I'm Chick. That's Jess. Say hi, Jess.
Hello.
Our guest this week is the incredible, unbelievable Jimmy Pardo. You like this? This is good.
On paper, I should not like this.
You don't like this at all?
But I do.
You don't like this? This is Bob Schneider. He's a really good friend of mine. I'm going to say really good friend. I saw him last week in Chicago.
Is that right? Up in the Windy City.
And he does this live when I'm at the show. Anyway, we needed an intro to start the show.
I see.
So now we're starting.
Now we're going to officially start?
And now we're going to officially start and get back to you and your Ted Nugent story.
I went to see Ted Nugent. This was at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, California.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Lukather was in the room.
Steve Lukather from Toto?
From Toto. Great guitarist. Good
now,
man.
Now, Jimmy, why are you saying Toto instead of Toto? Why would you ever do that?
I don't know. Probably for humor. Probably for you. Why does he keep saying Toto? Doesn't he know it's Toto? I'm guessing he probably does, the man on stage talking.
You know what's so frustrating about you?
Everything. Every second I'm awake.
No, if people would go and see you, the people that go and see you and get you,
mm-hmm.
and there are many,
yeah,
unbelievable affection and mm-hmm. enjoy it. And like I said, the funniest standing-up comedian, and I say standing-up comedian as a tribute to you.
Because
that's what you do. But the people that don't get you, and there were some at the first show last night, it just boggles my mind. Because there are, because Jimmy says purchase instead of purchase. And it truly is like...
And they were about three minutes behind them.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell's that all about?
Why is it saying purchased?
And then he says Kid Rock.
Oh, boy.
Fuck that's... Kid Rock. Jesus, that damn guy. But then in the very next breath, he goes, Kiss. Incredible band. Love those guys.
Right.
And the people who get mad about it don't see that you are, your thing is you're a blowhard. And you're,
yes.
You don't.
Yes.
You don't mean it's a comedian. You're a funny guy.
Yes. And again, let's rewind the listener. 30 people stood up at the first show, the entire room, the second show. So even with that. That's the minority. You know, it used to be the majority of the audience didn't understand I was a blowhard.
Well, that
And now it's the opposite, where there's there probably were 10 people that left last night not understanding why did those people stand up. I don't understand that at all. This guy didn't make me laugh once. He made fun of my favorite rock and roll artist, and they're confused by it.
I don't understand it.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and Jeff's wife got up and left.
Who's Jeff?
Remember last the first show?
Adios, lady. Adios. Yeah,
no, it was just the weirdest fucking thing.
Jeff was a nice older gentleman whose wife was going to go see Kid Rock in concert tonight. And I forget what I said about Kid Rock.
But she got up and left because you said something about Kid Rock?
Yeah, she goes, I got to leave right now.
In the middle of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jimmy goes, well, fine, good. Get out of here. Get out. See you later.
No. And here's the beauty.
Did he stay? Did her husband stay?
Of course Jeff stayed. Jeff enjoyed the quiet. Him? No. We're talking. But there's a Jeff at every show you do.
There's a Jeff at every show.
Oh, absolutely. It's that guy. Okay,
and there's a Jeff's wife at every show, and it could be a Jeff's. It could be flip flop those genders. But the beauty about that woman leaving last night, Chick, about not getting it at all, not hearing a word, was I did a 3.5 minute bit complimenting her for working at the post office. Like she said, I it's okay. I worked at the post office for years. And then I did a whole thing defending postal workers.
Right.
You remember?
About how it used to be 10 cents to take this letter all across the country. Now it's 54 cents. You got to be fucking
kidding me. That goddamn Obama. And this whole thing about how people are stupid for getting mad at people that work at the post office. And all she heard was me saying post office, and she assumed I was making fun. Like, she didn't hear a word. She didn't hear a word I was saying. I'll say it, Jeff. If Jeff listens to this podcast, your wife is stupid. and she just didn't hear. It's like, I always joke about it. Like, on my podcast, we make 9/11 jokes every episode. Or we'll make all sorts of offensive jokes.
Never forget.
Thank you, brother. Like just recently, we did a joke. I said that I saw a guy who was vaping in his car on the way here, and boy, you look like an asshole. If you're vaping, you look like an asshole. Vaping saved my brother's life. He was six packs a day. You guys have finally crossed the line.
Humor.
Really? That's what we crossed the line on. Mm-hmm. You asshole. Mm-hmm. But 9/11 jokes. That's okay.
That's totally okay.
Mm. I was amazed, and. Because I kind of do this too when I don't do stand up. I host shows. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Drew Hastings. Shit like that. That's right.
Then, sometimes that's offensive the way you do it.
But this lady got up, and people in the comedy show
I
setting,
can't imagine what you would have to say to me for me to get up at a comedy show and walk out.
Again, the vaping thing is the perfect example. You're just not listening. Not you. I'm the person. Right. It's not listening. Yeah, like it's that they're hearing what they think is a buzzword. They're immediately offended and they're shutting down.
And that's their reaction to life, apparently.
Yeah.
Not just you.
Right.
It is their reaction in life. Yeah.
Make fun of everything but something that involves me.
Right. Let me make this about me immediately. Right.
This woman and people get up and go to the bathroom all the time when you're doing your stand up. And of course,
and Jimmy,
the lady gets up to leave, and he goes, "Good, get the fuck out of here. I've had it with you."
And you had no idea she was actually leaving.
He had not spoken to her in the entire.
No.
But there were people sitting.
Different woman.
There were people sitting back there going, "Oh boy, he really gave it to her. What's his fucking problem?" Shut up. It could have been anybody. Part of the fucking.
I said to her too, I'm sick of you sitting there quietly enjoying yourself.
That's right. And they still were
you can only hope that the person that you single out gets it and they turn around and they giggle and they smile and let the rest of the audience know it's okay.
Well, they generally do.
Well, I think this woman did, actually.
I'm not really doing anything. I'm not yelling about anything. That's the beauty. It's like, unless you specifically get in my face or derail what I'm doing, the lashing out is, it's innocuous. It's nothing. It's that woman moving. It's right. Somebody going like that with their glass. Sir, can you move that glass a little bit further?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, yeah. It's stupid what I do. I'm great. Again, 30. Chick is dwelling on the negative Nillies.
Nillies?
No, this is Nilly. Nilly Carter. And oh, she Nilly. Is.
Unbelievable.
Did I say Nillies?
You know, she went on the diet because she heard herself breathing and didn't know what that sound was. And
wait,
thought,
who?
Oh, my God, that's breathing. Nell Carter. She's no longer with us.
We lost her.
She went too soon.
Did
or,
she?
Or,
never
well,
forget.
This is a Jimmy Pardo joke. Turns out it was just about the right time.
Turns out it's fine. Do you know what my favorite? That kind of reminds me of my favorite moment in the history of my podcast where we were, what's her name was on my, she was on my flight, Charlene Tilton.
Yeah.
From Dallas.
Oh, the little short blonde girl.
Little short blonde
yeah,
girl.
Right.
And you know, she was hot. Remember
gorgeous
we had posters?
Girl.
And,
yeah.
And so I was, she was on my plane, and, as was her daughter, who's equally as beautiful. And they were on the plane the entire
no,
cast.
Tilly? Tilton?
Tilton.
Tilly. No, Charlene's daughter's Tilly.
Oh, yeah. Tilly Tilton. And the entire cast of Dallas was on my plane. I was
what?
Like, yeah.
How do you get on that plane?
You know what? I and which
just
weird,
luck?
Just luck. And I was in the, I got bumped up to first class, so I'm in first class, and I'm looking around, like, and they're all talking to each other. You know how that's annoying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when everybody around you, and so they're all talking, they're all, you know,
over each other's yeah.
chairs and talking. I'm just sitting there, like,
everyone's so excited, yeah.
And I'm in the middle of it, and they're all talking to him, and slowly but surely, I'm like, looking around, going, why do I recognize every one of these faces? And then, you know, this one, Larry Hagman was still alive. Larry Hagman turns around with eyebrows that are, you know,
out of control.
Out of his grave, I think. Even they're the one things that survived. They're like little cockroaches. And, so I'm like, Jesus, that's Larry Hagman. And then I look around, there's Charlene Tilton, and it's the entire cast of Dallas, and they're going to Dallas for some big reunion.
I was going to say, don't tell me there's like a Dallas cruise that you could buy onto and do a Dallas cruise.
Dallas flight.
I think this was a similar thing, but in Dallas.
Minus the boat.
Was P. Duff there? Patrick Duffy?
Yes. Thank
really?
You. Yeah, he was right next to me.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He's a gorgeous man.
Oh,
handsome.
See, I know him from the
Man from
the show.
Atlantis?
No, the show that he did with Suzanne Summers.
Step by Step.
Step by Step. That's what I know him
you
from.
You know, the great comedic actor, Patrick Duffy.
Yeah.
So he's next to me, and then Charlene Tilton's behind me. So I come back on the podcast, and I'm talking about Charlene Tilton, and I said, and you know, she and her daughter's very attractive, and she is, I mean, for a 70-year-old woman, I mean, she looks beautiful. I mean, she holds up. I mean, for, you know, she's got to be 67 years old, 70. I mean, she looks phenomenal. And
right.
Everybody's going, I don't think she's that old. I guarantee she, and she looks fantastic. And then somebody looks up and she goes, and everybody's talking, and I'm building it up, and somebody goes, she's 56. They go, oh, then she looks like hell. But it was like, it was just such so fast and knee-jerk
yeah.
that it was like, oh, Jesus, great, because I was selling how beautiful. Oh,
yeah.
It was,
right, right.
Yeah.
Made me laugh so hard. I met Ted Nugent.
Oh, she looks... Oh, so you're at the Ted Nugent concert.
And Jess, you have to... Chick, you can do it too.
Yes,
you guys
will
be the entire audience.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All you have to do when I ask the question
yeah.
is you just got to yell out, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so this is Ted Nugent. Mm-hmm. Ted Nugent's on stage, and he's noodling around. He's getting... Whenever I tell the story on stage, I do it as Cat Scratch Fever because it's more recognizable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it actually was Stranglehold.
Right.
So,
okay.
You know... Oh, how does that sound? Oh, boy. Oh, that sounds sexy. Oh, that's sexy. Oh, ain't that sexy? Oh no! How's that sound? That sound good?
Yeah!
Bullshit! Sounds great! Come on,
Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent.
That could be the greatest thing ever at a concert.
Oh, I would lie. That's hilarious.
I know. And
bullshit.
Like,
sounds great.
And then you're like, oh, you know what? Hey, you know what? Ted gets it. Ted's a good guy. The next day, the nigger.
Easy, everybody.
Yeah. That was my impression of Ted. By the way, that was not me yelling that word.
Right. Yeah, but that, but
yeah,
but you could differentiate the person and the art.
Can I?
I kind of. You just said he's a good artist.
He is, but you know, but I won't go see him live anymore. I won't support him anymore.
There you go. Okay,
I won't.
Okay.
I can't. I won't. And I can't.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
okay.
He's been on the show in the studio probably twice.
Of course he has.
And he's okay, but there really is.
He's like a caricature, man.
In
like,
my
he's
opinion,
not.
There's something not connecting upstairs.
Is that true?
With him, yeah. I think there is.
And it's not drugs, because he claims he's never done drugs in his life, so he's just...
I don't know what it is, but it's his way of life and his way of looking at things has been so uber-validated by everyone around him and continues to be.
Right.
And he doesn't want to hear... And while he doesn't hear any negative feedback other than, Ted, you're great, that's exactly the opinion that people should have.
Yeah.
And he doesn't...
Like, but, he heard this. If he hears this, he goes, Jimmy Pardo thinks I'm a great guitarist. That's all he heard.
Right. Which is awesome. I wish that I could do that.
Oh, you and me both. I only hear the other side of it.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
I hear the exact opposite.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Or I go, what song does he like? Like, I have to just be very specific.
And, right.
Yeah. This has been great. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks, Jimmy.
Peter Frampton was here recently, right?
Oh.
You guys have Peter Frampton.
Peter Frampton
on the show?
He's been in the studio a couple of guys. He's a really sweet guy. He really is a nice guy.
I gotta meet Peter Frampton.
I love that album. Comes Alive. Great album.
Great album. You know what? The album with Lying on it's a great album too. I can't think of the title on it.
Lying.
It's on Atlantic Records. It was kind of
it's
his
not
comeback.
I'm in You, right? It's
no, that was the one
I'm
right
in
after.
You was bad, right?
Do what?
Nobody it wasn't liked. Bad, but the problem I was liked. It had the ballad, and everybody just was mad that he went from.
I thought it was a great version of Signed, Sealed, Delivered on that.
He's yours.
It's great. He's yours. He's right at your door. And he's delivered by the lady from the post office.
How dare you?
54 cents. Right across the country. Unbelievable. Great guy.
Then, Frampton did that great album. Then he made the mistake of doing that Bee Gees movie, that Beatles Bee Gees movie. And I think it hurt his career. Obviously, it hurt.
Has said that, and I don't know, I want to say it was in Rolling Stone. He has said when they took...
Premonition?
It was one of the last...
You.
You're welcome.
Did you just get that off the top of your head, or are you looking up stuff like Garen does on
Fargo's
podcast? You
honestly think that I would know that was the name of that album? What? Let's see.
I just said it's a good album, and I didn't know the name of it.
But there's a 1986. Is that when it came out?
Oh, that's right? So. Yeah,
it's exactly
and
right.
Yeah. And then Fingertips, and then he ran the grant.
I was in kindergarten.
Yeah, he was on a photo shoot somewhere, and be in my shoes for 10 minutes. So
you love shoes too. So
I
would like
I do.
To. I know those are comfortable.
I love it all. Anyway, when they took Peter's picture without his shirt at some point during a photo shoot. He himself has said that's probably where I got the unfair, or people all of a sudden forgot he's this incredible artist, and he playing with Humble Pie when he's 16.
Right.
And they forgot because of that. Oh, well, there's Cheesecake. He's an idiot. He's all this superficial.
I think he's 100% right, too. I think he's 100% right. Yeah. Now, it didn't help that although he was a rock star, but he wore those little jackets on stage with no shirt underneath it.
Right. So you saw those ads. Button downs,
that's
I think he's one of those guys that's gotten way better looking with age.
Well, everybody does.
Wait, is that really? You think that's an accurate statement?
I think he's more attractive because to me, he reminds me of. He reminds me of the guy that was in, that was a pop star that. There was a car accident and he put his drummer in a wheelchair and it was on VH1.
Oh, Leif Garrett.
Yes. That's kind of what he looks like when he was young.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. You're right. He is more attractive. Same with Robert Plant. He's more handsome now than he was when he was younger.
I think so.
What? Robert? I'm kidding. Robert Plant looks horrible.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to go no.
Robert,
what is he like? 120? Sort of... He looks great.
I mean, he's going to look bad for 98. He's 52. Oh, he looks horrible.
Looks like fucking hell.
Oh, he looks like hell.
So what is we all know about your affection for Chicago.
Yeah, what do you think of this? Hang on, I'm getting away. I can only assume...
that he doesn't like Chicago.
No, but Jimmy loves the band Chicago.
Oh, the band? I thought the place.
Yeah, well, I like that too.
Do you really? I thought you were not a fan.
I grew up there?
Yeah.
I have this... I have this joke, and I'm referring to it as a joke because it's more of an observation. Mm-hmm. There are only three people I like from Chicago. You and my two kids, who are half from Chicago. That's it.
You don't like anybody else from Chicago?
I don't know why.
You both really like Uncle Lair, right?
Chicago-centric.
Larry Reeb, big fans of Larry Reeb, right?
I haven't seen Larry in 20 years.
He was on the podcast.
How's TV?
How's Hollywood, Jimmy?
You know, there's a guy who hasn't aged a minute.
Because he's looked like that since he was 16, I bet.
Yeah, he probably has. And that's our Larry Reeb hunk.
I have not seen Larry in 20 years.
Yeah.
I have.
But that's only, who else do you know from Chicago?
Jeff Garland. Don't like him.
Oh, he's from Chicago?
Yeah, Jeff's a good guy. Jeff's a fantasy baseball guy.
Is he in your team? Is he in your league?
He's on my team. I draft all professionals and Jeff Garland.
Really?
Utility spot. Guys, my last pick, I'm going to go with comedian Jeff Garland. Garland.
What do? You just sit in the woods and hope that someone misspeaks and then you can just
By the way, can I tell you something? I hate when people do it, so I'm mad at myself right now. I really am. Because I do hate that it's so easy to...
Do you know Jeff? Do you have his number in your phone?
Yeah. You want to? Should we text him?
You have Jeff's number in your phone.
Who are we talking about?
Jeff Garland.
Oh, no, I got Jeff Simpson, a guy I went to high school with. No, I think I do. Let me take a look.
No, you don't have to.
But I kind of want to know
he
that.
He was on the podcast.
You had him on the program?
And it was very, terrible. It was awful.
I think it was worse than it was, but it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
I've got both the email and the phone number.
I would like to actually mend a fence with him. So if you see him down the road, will you tell him that Chick from...
he won't.
Hillbilly Chick from Indiana.
Right. Did you have a tough time on the show itself?
Oh, yes.
I had a tough time on the Bob and Tom show with him because I loved him so much before I met him, and a tough time on the podcast. And,
oh, because that was pre-booked.
I already had that booked.
And then after Bob and Tom, you couldn't bail on it.
And you would have loved this, actually. He ate a bagel for 25% of the time he was on my podcast, our podcast, and loved her, called her a little ball of sunshine, or what was it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but really fucking hated me. So
did you?
And then we went to his Jeff Garland. Then we went to his show.
Then we went to the stand-up. And
what the hell's the matter with you? You obviously, you don't get off
like
on Bob and Tom.
Yeah.
You don't get along on your own podcast. You know what? Let's go still. So we got to go see his show.
But when we saw it, kind of made us feel better because it wasn't, there was no material.
Is that what? I've not seen him. I only saw him. I've only seen him like host shows and or be a guest. You know, I always get along very well with Jeff.
Has he been on your podcast?
I've not had Jeff on my podcast. He is busy with his situation comedies. Before that, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and
he had a podcast for a while.
He did have a podcast for a while. He's never been anything but pleasant and nice to me. And whenever I run into him, I look forward to seeing him.
That's nice.
I don't want to spend your visit talking about Jeff Garland.
I'm sorry you had a bad situation with him.
You've got a new game show that I'm so excited
what?
About. Yes, he
how
does.
Do you not know this?
I told you I was able to listen to one 20-minute segment.
Well, how about you listen? You follow me on Twitter?
I don't.
Well, maybe you should start. Maybe you should do something to understand my career a little bit better. Listen to my podcast like your friend Chick does.
So can I...
Can you follow? Yeah, just go on Twitter and
here's
look
the thing.
For me.
I know, I'm going to do that.
This absolutely happened to me. Jimmy and I have known each other for... Did you just look at your wife?
Can I tell you why? Right in the middle of you being, I think you're going to be earnest.
Yeah.
At 11...
You just remembered something? You have to go?
At 11:47, I got to go. What if it was that specific? At 11:47, I have to check in for my flight tomorrow morning and so that I can be first on for the upgrade list.
Okay, go ahead.
So I went into a panic, but no, we got 3 minutes. So know this. I'm going to be very focused for the next 3 minutes.
No, but we've known each other forever, and you've had other game shows before, and I've loved the other game shows, but this time when this game show came around, and I heard about it, and I actually heard about it on the podcast first, on your podcast first.
Thank you.
And I thought, oh, that seems, I really couldn't wrap my brain around how the game show was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was concerned for you, because obviously I wanted to succeed, but then I thought, oh, that really sounds like a complicated what's happening on that game show? That's by God, I watched it. It's called Race to Escape. It's two identically prepared rooms with two different teams of three people each, and they try to get out of. They try to escape from the room by following clues.
Yeah,
and I was immediately. I can't wait to watch the second one. I've got it on my DVR. It's really a good game show, Jimmy.
Thank you.
And you are perfect. I would like to see a little more of you.
Sure.
Because that's...
I think that's the feedback from most of my fans, is that they're like... I don't know how the people that don't know me feel. Like maybe they're getting just enough of me. But my fan base is saying they'd like to see more of me. And you know, there's reasons... Like, people want to see me interact with the people more, which I can't, because if I say two sentences to one team and only one sentence to the other team, it could look like a disadvantage. And if you're looking back at it, or like I'm giving some team an advantage, so it's everything's got to be done. Standards and practices on the up and up.
So it is a game. Yeah, it is a game show.
They consider it a game show, but I think it's more of a social experiment.
Governed, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Where there just happens to be money if you.
And it is on the Science Channel, and it is. And then I thought, well, this is on the Science Channel. How does that apply? And you actually do come in and explain processes, how the brain works and stuff like that. And that part's even.
It's really cool.
Really interesting.
A guy by the name of Riaz Patel came up with the idea. And he actually had offers. He and his production company had offers from many networks, including like major networks, like primetime, NBC or ABC or CBS or Fox, one of those four.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose the Science Channel because they were the only ones that understood that this game really only works if you include all those science
facts. All the information.
Right. All that information is important to why are people thinking this way. And if it's on one of those bigger networks, they're going to be focusing more on the
idiot people.
You know, put the girl in a short top. And,
right, right,
you know,
right, right.
Oh, well, there'll be some tension between the two hot trainers and all the bullshit that that this show doesn't need. And Riaz was smart to maybe not take that, you know, that
the easy way out
or the big money,
profitable
mass
yeah.
appeal,
you know, and just that big payday, you know, just that, you know, almost like Easy Street money going network primetime. And, you know, he cares about the art. He has integrity.
Well, to me, the first great thing they did, obviously, was hiring you as the host.
Thank you.
But the second great thing is who's ever in charge of choosing the contestants. They had six great people. And it wouldn't really work either if they weren't very verbal about how they're figuring out these clues and they're talking with each other.
Yeah.
And I mean, it starts out like there's the episode I saw was there's I want to say a trick table, but it's not but it opens up and there's the clues in the table and two of the three of each team. There's two teams of three.
So you have to even figure out that it's a trick table.
It starts out, two of the three members of the team.
You have no information except you're in this room.
And they're handcuffed to the table. They're shackled to the table. So first of all, you got to get out. You got to unlock yourself from the table.
Oh.
And it really is. Like, you find yourself yelling at the TV, and I was like, why the hell would he do that? I'd said to my dogs. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
And it really, I know it sounds like, you know how I get when I get excited about something.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited about this.
Well, good.
It's on the Science Channel. It's called Race to Escape.
And I thank you. And I'm 100% paying attention to you. I don't want you to think I'm not.
I know what it is to have to check in on a flight. You go right ahead and do
it.
It
is. And you know
what are you flying? From Dayton?
No, I got to drive back here to Indy.
It's not that bad. Well, shit. To the airport from Indianapolis. Yeah, that's right. At probably 2 hours.
But you know what? Now dig this.
Okay, go.
2 hour flight. 2 hour drive, you say. Mm-hmm. Connection error while retrieving your reservations.
Oh, God.
Seriously, I need to check in? And generally, I wouldn't care, but, you know.
Is it Southwest that you, because you got to check in early so you can get a good seat?
I'm on an American airline.
Yeah.
Remember George Miller, the comedian George Miller? That was his joke on Letterman. He was telling the whole thing, and Letterman goes, "Well, wait a minute, George, what airline were you on?" He goes, "I'm not comfortable telling you what airline I'm on. Let me just tell you, it was an American airline."
And George Miller had the great joke that I've stolen many times because George has passed away.
Right, and you can.
But we seriously did lose him too early.
Yes.
But he's had the great joke, "Oh, I had sex with the wife last night, and don't do this, guys. Don't look at her after sex and go, well, that ought to hold you." the incredible George Miller. And for whatever reason, Dave Letterman was the only one who would put him on.
He was the only one that...
Gray-haired. It seemed like he had gray hair from the first time I saw
him. From when he was like 22 years old.
Yeah, but just a tall, lanky, just a funny guy.
I saw him in Chicago because I always thought he was great when he would go on Letterman. I always thought, well, God, what a great joke writer. How funny, subtle, kind of just talking,
yep.
But yet the jokes were solid. And honestly, I was a guy, the club owner was a guy named Ken, and we were two of 300 people laughing.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Like, everybody. No, I mean, wait, I misspoke that. Nobody else was laughing.
No, just you two.
Two of us. We were the only two laughing. That's what I meant to say.
Who do you... Who?
You said it correctly. It was just very wordy.
Now, Jess, what you're witnessing is that he, every now and then, Jimmy will do the stare, as what it's called. Now, we don't have a video.
No. Hey, but we're working on that.
We are working on a video.
You're going to have a video component?
We might have a video component.
A YouTube channel.
That when we're...
So Chick called me the other day, and he said, what do you think we should call the YouTube channel?
What do you think we should call it? You're like right there at the vanguard of a podcast, if not the first, the best. And the first, the closest.
Now you're a pioneer.
A pioneer is
what
you
are. Look at that, Jess. It says it's still can't connect.
Still.
Damn it. All right, go.
But.
Let me get a bagel.
What do you think?
I'm just going to accept my fate on this and leave it alone. Be a man. Go.
Seriously, I am capable of editing anything. If you want to take 10 minutes and figure this out, we can come right back.
Oh, can we do that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, pause it. Can you use a computer?
Yeah, you know what? Can I use a computer? So you're thinking of a name for this YouTube channel. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I said, my first suggestion was off the air YouTube channel.
Yeah, why is that not?
I don't know.
Why is that off the table?
I don't know.
No, it's not off the table, but it just is. It should it be
OTA?
OTA
or should it be off
or
the air?
Off the air podcast?
Should it be Chick McGee?
Off the air podcast YouTube channel? Chick McGee YouTube channel?
You know what? Can I dare I say, Jess? I don't want to dismiss your
participation. No, you go Chick McGee.
I would go Chick McGee.
I agree. That's kind of where
YouTube
I was
channel.
With it.
I would.
Yeah.
You've got all the years built up.
Because say you do something after the Bob and Tom show and you do something in addition to off the air podcast, you are the personality. Stay with you. The Chick McGee has already been established. OTA is only 3 years old.
Yeah, 36 months.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with Jess. It sounds like she has this thought out. Why are you fighting it?
I feel
a little weird.
No,
I feel
he just
weird.
Gets a little bit bored and kind of tends to complicate things when he gets bored.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, that's only because when I get bored, I complicate things. That's my problem.
Hang on. That may have been just happened. Not even sure that applies to the premise. I would go Chick McGee.
But do you guys have a YouTube channel?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think you do.
We have to.
See, he's
because you can watch the podcast, right?
No, but yeah. That's a special. I mean,
but they show. I think Elliot put our video producer puts clips up. I think it might be a Never Enough. I don't know the answer to that.
Is this Elliot Hofberg? The
Elliot Hofberg, yeah, from the familiar.
He runs the apartment complex.
Yeah,
I don't know if they have anything available, but
I don't know. You know, I'll check in with him on the next show, see if he's got any openings over there at the familiar. He also was supposed to be in town this week. He was supposed to go to Gen Con for the.
Oh, I bet he was. He's got a board game coming
out. ModestGames.com.
He's got a brand new board game.
And I got a brand new.
A set of keys. You know, that's another thing. It's frightening how we think.
The same.
Same. And,
who is that, Melanie?
Who would. Yeah, Melanie. Okay. Lay down, candle in the. Great
lay
song.
Lay down, everybody, lay down. Great song.
Candle in the.
It's a podcast. You can. That's what it is. Uh-huh. That's your YouTube channel.
It is.
Yeah. No. Is that wrong?
This is the Larry voice he does.
Should that not be it?
I don't know that's it. Oh! Look who showed up, Larry, sir.
Larry, but Larry can't stay very long.
I don't. It hurts so bad to do Larry.
See, that's why I was getting my hair cut today, and my lady who cuts my hair is in the. The Bob and Tom Mafia is what we call it. She's married to one of the guys who worked here.
Was that right?
And she looks at me and she goes, I didn't know you were Mr. Obvious. And I go, well, yeah. And she goes, well, now I listen. I can tell it's you. And I go, yeah, when we started doing it, I thought in the back of my head, I cannot pick a voice that's hard to do. Because Mr. Obvious sounded like this. You know, you couldn't do it. So, but if he sounds like this, then you're okay. But see, with Larry, you can't talk very long. So you're in Los Angeles.
Wait a second. Let's go back to something. A woman works here. Or her husband works here.
Right.
She cuts hair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hair for a living.
She cuts everyone. Right. Everyone.
Pretty much everyone.
Everybody in this room.
Okay, everybody in this room.
Here, you want to hear a joke?
Yeah.
She cuts Tom's hair. Okay, go ahead.
I was. Yeah, my deadpan was not to you. And she didn't know you were Mr. Obvious?
Until like last week.
That's great.
Really? Well, she cut your hair. Christine didn't know. Yeah.
Can you believe it?
That's what she said. Oh. You don't believe that?
I can't believe Christine's that unobservant. I would not trust my hair to Christine.
Very nicely put.
Now, you had a question for me. More than happy to answer it.
You're living there in Los Angeles.
That's right.
With your lovely wife, Danielle, your lovely, your wonderful son, Oliver, who's 17, 18. How old is he?
Seven.
Seven. Wow.
Seven.
Oliver's 7 years
seven.
Old.
I remember when he was born.
He'll be eight next month.
No
I
way.
Remember, yep. I remember when you and me and
oh my gosh
Danielle, I think, and Matt Weinhold went to the Bahamas.
That would be
I don't even know if you and Danielle were dating, let alone married.
Oh no, we were dating.
You were dating? Is that why Danielle?
How would they come on the trip separately if they weren't dating?
You want to answer this? You want me to? You and Matt and Danielle were there.
Yeah.
Did Matt date Danielle?
No, she
Matt
dated Jimmy Dore.
That's oh, bless her.
Son of a...
Yeah, that's how I met her. She was at at Mike Siegel's birthday party. She was there with Jimmy Dore, and I met her that day. Yeah.
Really?
You don't know that story?
No.
Oh, Jess, get ready for the most romantic story in the world.
I remember the Jimmy Dore part now.
I walk into my... This is back when... In fact, somebody just uncovered a photograph from it.
No way!
And I was...
Do you have the glasses?
No.
Okay.
Wait.
Do you have the mullet?
Yes. I had my little glasses, those
okay,
little
right.
that on my big bloated head look ridiculous. So I'm bloated.
You weighed about 240, 245?
No. I was probably 40 pounds heavier than I am right
yep,
now.
Yep.
But on my little, I was fat and bloated, and I went to a birthday party with like a sweatshirt and jean shorts. Because that's what fit me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And I thought, and in my head, it was like, well, this is my nice sweatshirt and my nice right. jean shorts. Mm-hmm. And so I won't look slobby. But in the picture, like, really? Mm-hmm. That's what you went? Yeah. And so I walk in and I see this woman, girl, really. I mean, this is 16, 17 years ago now, 97 probably. And I see her across the room and I said, oh my God, that's to myself. That's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. I will marry her one day.
Oh.
And then I couldn't wait. I was getting even nervous, like to go up and talk to her, like to introduce myself. And she starts walking towards me, and because I'm talking to Jimmy Dore and Mike Siegel, and she then puts her arm around Jimmy, and she goes, and Jimmy goes, hey, this is my girlfriend Danielle. Oh, hi Danielle, I'm Jimmy. She goes, oh, I've heard all about you. You know, you're the great Jimmy Pardo, and
right.
And then it was like, oh, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And then they dated on and kind of on and off for a year, and Jimmy would always confide in me and others, and we'd go, you know, she's the greatest woman I've ever met, but I just don't love her. Hey, you gotta let her go, Jim. You know, I mean, if it's not working out, it's not working out.
Cut that shit loose,
Jim. I mean, Jim, if it's not right, it's not right. You gotta cut it loose. And then they broke up, and then I waited a year after they broke up and asked her out, and then we've been together ever since.
You waited a year?
I did.
Like, consciously waited a year?
No, it just happened to be about a year.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But, wow. Yeah, we started dating in May of 1998. May 22nd was our, no, that's our anniversary. May 11th was our...
First date,
yeah.
Oh.
When did I meet you? I'm trying to think of that because it was in the back studio. I remember, you were sitting to my left. I remember it like, because up...
You weren't here the first time. You were in San Diego the first time.
Oh, okay, so that was 95. We got it nailed down now. Okay.
Oh, no.
I didn't, when you were on... Where you were on the Bob and Tom show the first time, it was 95?
No, the first time I was on Bob and Tom was 1990. I was the I was the feature act for Joe somebody, and he...
Mama? Is it Mama?
That's it. It was Joe Mama. I forget his name, but for some reason, he didn't click with the show, and they didn't want him to come on.
Mm.
So they said, and that made for a very comfortable rest of the week, by the way.
Right, I bet, yeah.
So they had me come on, and it was up.
Hey, Mr. Bob and Tom, how are you? Shit like that. Is that
what yeah. It's exactly. And you know what? And he wasn't wrong, because it made no sense.
Right.
But it was on the roof, because it was the...
Oh, shit. Will Durst was on that show with us.
The 500?
We did the mini marathon.
And Christy was running at it.
Right.
Oh.
Yes. Holy hell.
That was the first one, and it was...
Was I on the show?
You were, because I was doing a joke in my act at that point, and it never worked in the act, but it worked on radio, where it's like, you know, everybody gives you a nickname, you know, you're on a football team, you're on this, everybody gives you a nickname. My nickname was Waterboy. And this is way before Adam Sandler was Waterboy.
Right.
And mine was Waterboy. And then you just kept like, Waterboy, wait, Waterboy! And so, like, throughout the show... I would do a joke and you'd go, ah, that's Waterboy. And so I just remember going, I like this guy. I like this chick guy. And then I think Tom went down to the street to report on Christy and the mm-hmm. thing. Right. And Bob and I stayed upstairs and you right. and the King Dave Wilson
oh, okay,
did
sure.
something. And right. So that was the first time.
Wow. I remember, I was thinking about this morning. I remember plainly you were on the show and I don't know when this happened. But it was obviously one of your earlier appearances, and you were talking and you were being funny. And up until that point, and this is going to sound horrible, the comedians we'd had on the show, I just really, they seemed not that funny to me until you came on. And you were actually the first comedian that was on the Bob and Tom show since I've been on it that I really, really honestly to God enjoyed.
Oh my gosh. Period. Well, first of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
Secondly, you know what? Here's the thing. There's a... And I'm sure other comics have told you this, and I'll say it publicly. There is a the weight that comes with doing this show yeah. is heavy. You know, you're in all those markets, and if you're anointed by this show,
yep.
yeah.
it could really, really change and help your career. So a lot of guys come in here and they're nervous
right.
and they're scared. Although back in the day when it was really just when it was for you know for
Indianapolis.
For Indianapolis and you know the Comedy Connection and Broad Ripple for Chicken Patty.
Hey, fucking piece of shit. That's what Chick Perrin would say to everybody.
Chick Perrin, you fucking, I love you, Jimmy. You know, fucking, I love you.
Hey, what, you got an act this time? You fucking asshole, Jason. Yeah.
That's what he would say.
You got any new jokes? Of course not. Of course you're fucking done.
Of course you're fucking done, you fucking hack. All right, go have a good show.
Now, let me go back. And Chick Perrin, who I'm named after, actually.
Is that true?
That is true. Because Tom was talking to Chick Perrin on the phone, and I was walking by in the early days, and he had just gotten off the phone with Duke Tomato, another friend of ours, a fabulous musician, is not to be too much like Tom, but he's a blues musician. Now, blues are never...
Oh,
anyway, I looked at Tom, and I go, wow, that's really cool. You have a friend named Chick and Duke. And he goes, well, Chuck, that's pretty close to Chick. Let's call you Chick. And as we all know, whatever Tom says goes. So I was Chick. But Chick Perrin and Patty were in Vegas at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club, and the four of us
went out to Vegas
like last month.
Oh, is that true?
And I saw Chick Perrin, and the first thing he comes up and he kissed me on the cheek, and they were like hugging and hadn't seen. So when I say he's a fucking asshole, I mean, that's what I'm trying to, you know, he's a great guy.
He is. They were one of the first to support my bullshit comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I when I first started, as we all did, I mean, I had tough shows. I would really struggle at it. And I was, and Patty believed in me, and so did Chick, and they kept booking me, and they kept it. I would struggle. And you know, Patty was a little more,
forgiving?
No, Chick was.
Yeah.
Patty was a little more, I can't even think of the word.
Bottom line lady? Worried about the money? Or selling tickets?
She was not as eager to move me up the comedy chain as okay. Chick was.
Okay.
But she was right. You know, when I had good shows, Jesus Christ, they were great. Mm-hmm. And when I had bad shows, they were the worst. I mean, bad, like 30 minutes of silence and people being like uncomfortable bad. And so it always would be almost like, would, you know, your mom and dad come and see your show, Chick would always see the great ones and Patty would always see the struggles. And then she had to be wondering, like in the post week meetings, like, well, we gotta fucking move Jimmy Pardo up to headline. And she had to be thinking, I don't even want to book him anymore. Like, what are you talking about? But they kept supporting me, and they were one of the reasons that, you know, I kept going in this business. So they're good. Whenever I see them, I have not seen them in probably 5-6 years. But when I did, it had been 10 years before that.
Right.
And you would think it was the day before.
Yeah. Right.
Like you saw him in Vegas.
Right.
Like, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And he kisses your cheek, and they're just great, great people.
Yeah.
I think Chick
I've never met them.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're so good. Great people.
We go to the...
we've had lunch at their bar lots of times.
Go to the Old Point, yeah.
Oh, do they still own that?
Yeah.
Oh, we used to go there after... This is when I was a drunken a-hole.
Uh-huh.
We would go from the comedy club to the Old Point.
Yep.
And I would... Because that was when it was Tuesday through Saturday or Wednesday through Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Right? It was 5 nights. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. Every night. Just... I'm not even exaggerating. I'm not even saying... I wouldn't even say... Like, you didn't go... Well, you didn't go one night. No. Five nights,
yeah.
You'd go, and I would get a chicken salad sandwich, mm-hmm. and a bowl of chili,
uh-huh.
and 79 beers every night. But it was like, you'd walk in and go, what am I going to get today? Well, chicken salad sandwich and a bowl. Because both of those were, I don't know if they still are.
They do. They still have
phenomenal.
Both of those. They yep. still both, both, yeah.
And sure I didn't did. Want I didn't want to, they go, you know what, you got to try the blah blah, it's great.
Nope.
Chicken salad sandwich. Bowl of chili.
Chick's crock of chili.
That was it. Yes.
Beers. Yep. Yeah.
Delicious.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's the Old Point in Indianapolis. Go by there and have a bowl of chili.
Please do. I wish the two of them were still, although, you know, Morty's is great. They're doing a good job. And Ruthanna Crackers is great. Everybody's great.
Everybody's great and everybody's wonderful.
But Chick and Patty had a passion and they understood the art. And that's rare in comedy.
Do you feel like they're responsible for the comedy scene in Indianapolis?
No, I think they're responsible for the demise of society.
That seems.
But they understood comedy.
You would think, you're going to think, you think that's a little heavy-handed what he just said, but I agree.
Thank you, Chick. Thank you. Thank you. Do I think they're responsible? Of course I do.
Yeah.
Of course I mean, they do.
There wasn't anything before them, right? Before they had...
Well, when Crackers...
It was called the Comedy Connection when they owned it, correct? Mm-hmm.
Did you... So Crackers, Keystone of the Crossing, that was owned by different people, right? Were you ever at that club?
No. I was a Chicken Patty guy, and then I didn't meet the guy that ran Crackers until he bought it.
So that was a different... But then the Comedy Connection became Crackers, and they moved out of Keystone of the Crossing.
Gotcha.
And,
uh-huh.
Gotcha.
So you're there in L.A.
Los Angeles, my wife's son.
There's a comedian playing, what comedian would that be for you to get up off the couch and go see him?
Boy, that's a great question. Woo, Daddy.
And trying not, I don't want it to seem like you're slighting anyone, but I mean.
Well, I mean, you know, the ones that I like that are in my peer group, you know, I see enough where I don't leave my house to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
right.
You know, your Paul F. Tompkins, Patton Oswalt, Greg Behrens,
right.
You know, Tig, Sarah.
Right.
What do you leave your house to do? Anything?
Have you watched her documentary?
I have.
Did you like it?
Yes, good.
I have it ready. I just haven't got there yet.
Yes.
It's the Tig documentary? Uh-huh.
Yeah. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen
it. It's really great. It's really, what I love is, there's one part which, again, I'll give you a little behind the curtain of the mind of a comedian. There's one part where you see that she's, you know, after she announced that she had cancer, uh-huh. and she had to basically write a whole new act because everybody wanted to hear about the cancer and she didn't really want to talk about the cancer. Mm-hmm. And so she had to, but everybody expected her to come out and here's Tig Notaro.
Right.
And she's just going to blow the roof off the place. But she just wanted to do like an open mic and you see in her eyes, and she talks about it a little bit, but you see in her eyes the fear like of, oh, I'm a fucking fraud. I can't deliver that Tig Notaro. Like mm-hmm. The funniest woman in America, please welcome.
Right.
I just want to work out new jokes. And you see it, and we've all been there. It's all been like on shows where like I'm not in the mood or I don't have anything new and I'm just going to rely on my bullshit. Mm-hmm. And it's like, please, fastest mind in the world, Jimmy Pardo.
Right.
Hey, everybody. And then the audience is like, well, yeah, he's here. And then, oh, he's trying new stuff. And it's and you see it. It's literally, when you watch it, you'll see it
it's
1 second you see it in her eyes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck, this is not good. Yeah. And then the rest of the story is great, though.
Yeah.
Boy, that was a long way.
Does she write? So she did. She did material on having cancer. She does.
Yes,
she does now,
and it's great stuff. It's all good.
Yeah, it's not like when like maybe someone we used to know used to do a whole thing about cancer. Stay with me.
No.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay.
This is funny, great stuff.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
And by the way, the you were sick a couple weeks ago, and they Matt put up the Greg Behrens Players Club episode.
Right.
How great is that?
Greg has cancer and is in the process of beating it. And his line about where he went to, was it Largo? Where he said they wanted to go out and talk about, you know, he said, it's okay, go ahead. We want you to come back on stage and do something. And he comes out and he goes, well, that's true. I have cancer, apparently. That's the way they do things here at Largo. So I'm right. Because Tig did the, so.
It was, and it was like, you know, I don't want to go. I don't want to be the, you know, I'm the guy that everybody has to announce it at Largo. And,
right.
But Greg, that episode of
that's
the show,
a great episode,
it's one of my favorites because I think you just really see a guy who is accepting that he has cancer and he's going to beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went through the, well, I've had a good life.
Yeah.
You know, all right. Well, this is what's happening now. I'm dying, and then fighting it. And I thought it was really interesting. And he's one of my favorite people in the world, and he's hysterical. But I'm trying to think who I would leave to go see.
Yeah.
Richard. I'd probably go see Richard Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, like if Richard was doing a show, I'd go see that. But mostly it's like, you know, a rock and roll show of some sort.
Right.
Yeah. You go to a lot of concerts.
I like rock and roll shows. Yeah. Or like Jimmy Webb. I'll go see Jimmy Webb if he's going to be doing a show.
Okay.
Paul Williams. I'll go see these type of acts.
That's a great documentary. The Paul Williams documentary.
You know what? Okay.
No. What's wrong with it?
I think the guy started making a movie. Ironically, like, I can't believe this guy's still alive. And then realized he is still alive, and he's a good guy. And then he didn't know how to finish his movie, so he became friends with the guy.
Right.
And then
it did get a little uncomfortable, but the guy was there all the time.
Like, and then Paul's like, "Yeah, great, okay, yeah, we'll go golfing." Like, it was like I liked when Paul would talk about his career and all that stuff, but I think the guy ended up because he didn't really have a movie.
Right.
I think he made it about himself, and so I don't think it's the best documentary.
Okay.
Even though I love Paul Williams.
You forget how big Paul Williams was.
Well, he's only 4'11". Come on.
He's
a tiny man.
I meant popular.
I mean, how big Paul Williams was.
Oh, my God. He was massive.
Like, he filled in for Johnny Carson. He was a regular fill-in for Johnny Carson.
He was on everything on your television at some point.
Singing. He was great in Smokey and the Bandit. Like, he was legitimately a star. Like,
he really was.
Yeah. And now he's kind of like, oh, you like Paul Williams? Yeah.
Uh-oh, what happened? Oh, you know who Paul... Oh, she's looking up who Paul Williams is. Wait, see, this is the yin and the yang of the podcast.
I understand that. Yeah. You got the...
It's like when I told her I wrote Dream On by Aerosmith. She believed me for you got about it. A week. 3 days.
Fuck up, I did.
You guys should call this show Generations.
Maybe. Maybe we will.
No, there is a... was it Dream On? Was that the song?
Dream On. That's my favorite.
Yeah, so we're in the car driving to a comedy show, I'm sure, and that song comes on, and I turn up, and I was like, this is so good. Who is it? Who is this?
Yeah.
He goes, this is Aerosmith. And I was like, the fuck it is? Because I knew Aerosmith
from
like...
the shit.
Yeah, like...
Loving
like,
an elevator.
No, well, that, but more even like Armageddon, Aerosmith.
Ain't gonna miss a dance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How could a band be so great in the 70s and then just suck?
So then she says, wow, if I was an Aerosmith fan now, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
So, and then you said, you wrote it?
And I said, well, I helped Steve write it, is what I... No, I... Yeah, maybe I did. I don't know. I forget.
Now, don't look any further. What was... can you guess Paul Williams' biggest... what he wrote? He wrote a song that...
Rainbow Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? You
that's know
that
nuts. Yeah. I just like... As soon as you said writer, it, that jumped out at me.
He wrote a lot of the Carpenters song. Did he write?
No, he didn't write Carpenters.
Yeah, that's true.
He wrote...
I'm pretty sure. We've only...
He wrote the lyrics to Evergreen?
So, yes.
Love, soft as an easy
love,
chair.
Love, soft as an easy chair.
Worst lyric ever.
Wait, what Carpenter songs
the
did he sing?
The lyrics to The Love Boat?
Love, exciting, and... Every one of his songs starts with the word love, which love. I find...
He wrote...
What do we got? I don't put down love on paper. You know that.
We've only just begun in Rainy Days and Mondays.
There, see? We've only just begun.
Rainy Days and Mondays.
To live... Rainy days and Mondays always get family
no,
a man.
An old-fashioned love.
An old-fashioned love song.
I went with Family a Man.
Coming down.
David Bowie's Fill Your Heart.
Did Paul Williams write Family a Man?
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Not Family Man.
Family of Man.
Family of Man.
Yeah, that's right.
The Family
I had a picture of Three Dog Night on my wall as a young chick. And I remember Floyd Sneed, Corey Negron, Danny Hutton.
Chuck
Negron.
Corey's...
Corey Wells.
Yeah.
Corey Wells. You had to correct me.
Because you would have been mad at yourself. I'm being a nice man.
You know, there's a broadcasting rule that you don't correct someone on the air. You know that.
No, I don't broadcast. I do podcasting.
No,
he auditioned to be a Mouseketeer and he lost.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of a bummer.
Great it is and Monday's always...
And then he wrote, yeah.
The thing about Three Dog Night is if you look at Three Dog Night now and you look back at what they were three guys, mm-hmm. three vocalists with mm-hmm. a band behind them.
A lot of heroin.
It looks Vegas-y. It looks
it really does.
Variety
yeah.
show-y.
Yeah. You're
yet,
right.
Like you said, you had the poster up.
Oh my God, I love that
they
band.
They sold out the Forum oh. for five nights in a row as a rock and roll outfit. Rock and roll teenagers went to see Three Dog Night and you would look at the clips now and go, so they were competing with Zeppelin and
right.
winning.
And winning. When Mama Told Me Not to Come came out, the world stopped.
Right?
Oh, my God, that was a great song. And people were like, whoo, hoo, 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 and all that shit. Oh, my God. We love Three Dog Night.
Whiskey in my home. I'll get my tea.
All these things
happening to me.
Mama told
me not to come.
Who wrote that? Who wrote that? Ready?
Mama told me. Give me the initials.
H.A.
Hoyt Axton.
Hoyt
Axton. Mama told me not to come. That at the winter call.
So you get do you
this
get
guy
back?
Helped the Scissor Sisters write their second album.
Yes, and
that's nuts.
And Daft Punk.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paul Williams did.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He won a Grammy with Daft Punk.
That's nuts.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he's great.
I love the Daft Punk with the Nile Rodgers. What's the name of that song? It sounds really disco.
But I think I know him as an actor.
That's
no?
Jimmy would say, that's a strong
that's
word.
A strong
no, I mean, I would know him from being on television. Is that better? Should I say it like that?
I mean, he's not really. I mean, he was in...
he was yeah. on The Love Boat. He was on the Smoking the Bandits.
Smoking the Bandits, great.
He's been in something like that I grew up watching. Like
Hollywood
some
Squares.
Random stuff.
Phantom of the Paradise?
You know what? I think I'm getting him confused with the scary lady from... What is that? With
oh,
the TV.
Oh, God. It's Twilight Zone.
Yeah. No.
No, night gallery. What
no,
you, what
with the television.
Say?
They're here.
Oh, Poltergeist.
Yeah, I'm getting confused with that lady, I think.
Oh, that's nice. Email Paul and tell him that.
Paul Williams. No, this is welcome to Talking Like Jess. Our podcasters know what, listeners know what I'm saying. This is, it's kind of like Mad Libs, but you turn it on it sideways.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting Paul Williams confused with Jo Beth Williams.
There you go. That's what it is.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, not the little old lady that comes and goes, I can help them leave.
This house is clean.
Oh, no. It's Joe Beth Williams. I see. Okay.
Joe Beth Williams.
Because one is a short blonde man and the other is a tall brunette.
Tall brunette with...
it's just the names.
I got you. It's a name thing. I apologize. Yeah,
with huge cans.
And, what did I apologize? I'm sorry, you guys. Guys, I want to let you know I'm sorry.
So you get home tomorrow in Los Angeles on a Sunday. What time do you get home?
I get home at 3:17.
Okay, and you go... I see you go right home. You check in with Oliver, see how he's doing.
I'm going to rush right home and then be bummed that they went somewhere. Like, I know they have plans tomorrow.
Is that how this happened? Really?
And I'm going to be bummed. I'm going to get home and go, and just, you know, I want it to be like a movie where he opens the door and runs to my car to get me.
Father.
Yes, and that won't happen. It'll be like, no, boy. And then I'll just kind of mope around the house waiting for them to show back up.
Well, that's cool. I would have never... I mean,
here's the. I'll give you a picture of my son from yesterday.
I don't think I've ever seen a picture of Oliver.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm. You've seen him,
have I?
Probably not older Oliver.
Yeah, probably older Oliver.
He's in a camp where they're making a movie making camp.
Ooh,
where they make a little
Spielberg doing that.
Yeah,
that's what he did. He sent him to a Spielberg camp.
Honey, obviously, we got the two choices of the local playground that has the movie camp or the Spielberg. Which one?
Yep.
Well, we're in showbiz. We're going to go
Spielberg. We're in showbiz. We live in Los Angeles.
One is $250, the other one's $5,000. Well, which one do you think
Spielberg,
I'm going to go
Spielberg is, Spielberg's in Hollywood.
Mama Tobin at the come. All right, hang on. I'm going to try to find my wife. This is right, here's the deal. They're making a film. And so yesterday was the premiere. Every little they broke him into groups, and they're going to show their little short film. And his is about it's a bunch of 7 and 8 year olds. So it's aliens are invading, but Oliver, because he's my son, and God forbid he just go with the flow, is in charge. And so he's even though the camp counselors are the directors, Oliver's the director.
Right.
And so he. How do directors show up to a premiere? Well, certainly you're going to.
That's adorable.
You're gonna put your little
your fedora on and
your fedora and your tie and your sport coat on.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy! Right. He looks like Danielle so much.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really does. Yeah. Thank God. I mean, don't you know what I mean?
Come on!
No, he's a handsome young man.
You know what? I am fascinated by how handsome.
Oh my gosh!
It's like. I look at him.
He's a great looking
kid.
But
he was a beautiful baby. I mean,
he was a beautiful baby.
It's like, I know him as dad. I'm supposed to think that, but it's like, I look at him and I just like,
no, he's a great baby.
No, I remember
seeing. This happen?
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures right after he was born, and he's a beautiful baby.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, he it's like, again, I know I'm supposed to think my son's handsome and he's this, but I just look at him like, how are you from this misfit? This, and I'm pointing at myself, this idiot created this. Perfect little guy, and he's smart.
Whoa,
he's
ho,
funny
ho!
And,
you and your wife had sex? Is that what you're saying?
No. We used a doctor, like everybody does, to have a child. No, isn't that how you?
Sex is dirty.
No, sex is dirty. That's exactly right. That's for your pornographic films and such.
Okay, so Monday for Jimmy Pardo. Monday for Jimmy Pardo. What time you wake? Because I thought about this last week. I thought,
what's up, brother?
I'm gonna text Jimmy and see and wish him a happy birthday. And I overthought it. So then I ended up texting you a day late because I thought if I text him now, it's 3 a.m. in L.A. or whatever. So
I would have been mad, too. I got a buddy who's a great friend of mine, a guy that we reconnected from grade school, a guy named Mike, Mike Cusick. Great guy. And we've reconnected. We've become friends. And he texted me, but I had to set a rule. Yeah. Mike, you're in a different time zone.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't text me in the morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to wait until noon your time.
Yep.
So sure enough, almost every day, 12:01. great guy. Glad we reconnected.
So Monday, Monday, what time do you wake up?
You know what I do?
Is Oliver back in school yet?
No, 17th.
Okay.
I intentionally park my car. We have our driveway. You can't go tandem. Or no, you have to go tandem. You can't go next to it.
Right.
So I intentionally park behind Danielle so that I'm forced to get up in the morning to move my car so they could go so that I could see them so I don't sleep through that.
Right.
So I get up around 8.
Uh-huh.
8 a.
You go work? You go work out?
Know, there's a rule in broadcasting that you don't yawn when your guest
is talking. I wasn't yawning. I had my mouth open. It sounded like I was yawning.
what would the other option be? It looked and
stuff. I asked a question. I want to know.
I will then work out. Yes, to answer the question. I will go probably for a run.
4 miles? That's what I heard.
I don't do 4 miles.
Where did I get 4 miles?
It's like 6.
Okay.
And tried to recreate last night. Do you really do 4 miles an 8? No, it's like 6. It's usually 3. It's usually 3 miles.
You do the mud things too,
I do
right?
a 5K every
you
day.
You do the mud things?
Yeah, but we're bored with them. Bored with the mud runs.
Yeah, somebody else had just told me that. You can only do those so much.
And you know what? The first five times, I'm like, the first five, God, this is a blast. This is so much fun. Oh, they're challenging and this. And then it's just like, you know what? I don't like taking an hour and a half to clean up after this.
Afterwards, yeah.
You know, you run basically for 34 minutes, mm-hmm. and then you spend an, literally 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you get my back now, and what, you know, hosing off, waiting in line to use.
Well, you know what they found out about the mud run, the E. coli.
E. coli.
Oh, in the mud runs. Puke City. What? Yeah.
Now, Puke City is...
That's different. That's different than the mud run. Oh.
And isn't Belknap too competitive? Isn't that what
he's very competitive with the mud runs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, whereas Mike Siegel, myself, my wife, we kind of just all run together and, mm-hmm. and you know, we have fun. But there goes Belknap.
Zoom.
Like it matters. He runs those like it like there's going to be some sort of trophy at the end.
Right.
And, but you know what? If that's how he enjoys doing it... I literally got mad the first time. Like, dude, we're supposed to do this together. This is this. You're not really racing. You're doing it for fun. Right. And so, like, in my head, I'm like, well, maybe that's his version of fun. Like, I have to bring it in internally. Think, you know, if he wants to do it in the quickest time he can, and that's how he's going to enjoy it.
Right.
Let him do that. That's not what you're going to do. Mainly because I can't do it fast.
Are you a spiritual guy?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Were you raised in a religious house?
You know what? I was raised in a... We were Catholic. Uh-huh. And I went to Sunday school and I did my confirmation. I did my my communion and then, of course, my confirmation.
Right.
And my mom said that, you know, once you make your... I want you to see this through. Once you make your confirmation, you guys can decide what you want to do religiously.
Okay. Right.
And I never went to church a day again after that.
Never.
You know, if you like religion, you know, whatever. I mean, if you find one that's right for you, I'm not going to judge you.
Right.
Live your life.
Yeah.
But no, it's not my...
No. Do you meditate? Anything?
No.
No.
I did go to one of those like non-denominational churches for a while. And I dug that. I love the idea of finding something to be spiritual about and to be focused about. But as a comic, I'm jaded. And so I kind of just look everything like, come on.
Right.
Really just think positively.
Yeah.
It's like, that sounds good. And it lasts a minute that I'm already yelling at the guy, move your fucking car.
Yeah. But you know what I think it is too, after you have a child, like that's kind of what you're spiritual about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I did this and this is a reason to be a good person. And
right.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you do the best you can. I mean, but I, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to that Sunday when I kind of did enjoy it.
You did.
I did. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed getting it. But then you know what happened? The guy we were going to, the church we were going to, Michael Beckwith, maybe is his name. Danielle and I would go, and Danielle was kind of just going for me, truth be told, because it was right after I stopped drinking, and and so she would go with me, and she was getting something out of it, but she was not as invested as I was. And then maybe 6 months in, the guy went on Oprah and blew up. So now every Sunday, instead of 200 people, it's 1,000, and you're hoping to get in.
Yeah.
Like one time, they told the choir they don't have to sing because they need those seats. You know, behind the guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I'm literally sitting where, like, it was so crowded. I'm sitting in one of the choir seats behind the guy. And when you're behind the guy giving a sermon, you better be fucking paying attention. Because everybody's looking directly at the stage and or the pulpit, whatever it's called.
It's like a hot club anywhere else.
Right.
Only in L.A., you can't get in.
You can't
church.
Get in. They're...
No, they have those mega churches. There is, I stumbled across one on Instagram. It was like the Beckhams of God. Like, they were just so...
Yes.
I mean, it was nuts. They were, I mean, the best clothes and the big sunglasses and the fake breasts. I mean, she had it all. She had everything. And he was like motorcycle guy and just... But praise God for the motorcycle, you know, things like that. And I was just... It was so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's so different than... I mean, because we're kind of Bible Belt-ish right here. And it is... It's another ball game.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
But I would like that. You know, if you go and you know, there's 75 people there, would be nice. Or,
yeah.
You know, but this just got stupid.
That's nuts.
And you know, you have to park, and then you have to park and take a shuttle.
Oh yeah. Sure.
You park here, then we'll shuttle you over. Like, I'm literally taking a shuttle from farther from my house. Like, this is stupid.
Right.
And then so that's kind of why we bailed it. But I would I'd like it. And somebody recommended that there's some good TED talks, I guess, that
there are
kind of along this. These
there
lines.
Are.
So I would like to do that, but I, you know, at the same time, you know, there's always time to masturbate.
As soon as she leaves
never
the house.
Never forget.
Oh, you kidding me?
You're okay. On it.
Oh, the second I will never need Viagra.
I can't, you guys.
So Monday. All right, so then get up.
Are we going every day of the week?
That's
what are we
right.
Oh. That's right. Then I'll go to the podcast.
You do the podcast on Monday.
Yeah, I'll go to the podcast. And then in the old days, then I would go right to Conan, but I'm not doing that anymore. And so then after the podcast, we kind of just chitty chat for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then what I try to do is get
now
my
you
car.
Do both. You do both versions of the podcast
no,
on Monday?
No, sir.
No, God.
No, that's Monday is the
that would drain you,
the
I would think.
Airwolf feed. Yeah, it's yeah. Very draining.
Yeah.
We do that the other one on Thursdays.
Oh, really?
You got to have a couple of days to build up life. You know what I mean? There's something to talk
sure,
about.
Sure, right, yeah.
And, yeah.
So what are you doing at Conan now? Or you want to talk
I have
about
a development deal.
Yeah, right, right.
So I'm developing. That's very exciting, right? It's very exciting.
Are you writing? Are you writing the show? Are you having some looking at writers? Are you stealing things? What are you doing?
It's all of that. It's every number, every bit of that. Huh. Dan Cronin, who's a writer on Conan, and I created a show. Well, TBS came to us last year with a show called The Weekly Awards that they wanted to do. And so we did a pilot last year called Dan. They paired Dan Cronin and I together to create The Weekly Awards with Jimmy Pardo. And it was a great show that I'm very, very proud of. It kind of combined the soup and sketch.
Okay.
And Conan. Like, it was the Conan sensibilities.
Right.
And the soup. And like where you know viral videos and stuff that's happening in the news, like the this week's weekly award for you know I can't even fucking think of one.
Right
stupidest car wreck
or, yeah or but you know but we tried to stay positive believe
oh,
it or not
okay.
Like
all right.
For outstanding like for that would be outstanding achievement in driving
oh okay,
would be
okay.
That
gotcha.
And then it would be the stupidest car wreck but we wouldn't
right.
Call it that
right. Right
and then we would have like the sketch element would be either that person. Somebody playing that guy mm-hmm. Or like you know on the scene was this guy who witnessed that right here I was there
right
and so it was honest to God phenomenal
mm-hmm.
And Dan Cronin and the and the entire Gary Lucy and a guy named John Corbett and a guy named Mike Henry they wrote this what Roey a guy named Roey was involved and we wrote a great show mm-hmm. And it was it ticked every box that they wanted the Conan sensibilities, the Jimmy Pardo sensibilities, what TBS was asking for, something new and interesting,
mm-hmm.
Sketch, like, and we got caught up in the TBS changed regimes,
okay.
And so the guy who was 100% behind it was no longer, he got
yeah.
Let go, mm. And of course when the new people come in, they want their own piss on things, so,
right.
Which
right.
Is a bummer, so anyway, they loved it so much that they then want, they paired Dan Cronin and I together again. To create this new thing, whatever it's going to be. So
okay.
We are working on that as we speak.
Is there any timetable on
you
that?
You said or? That, and I'm oh, sorry.
I don't know the answer to that, chick.
Yeah,
I really don't. It's, I think we, I brought them some ideas, and they've had reasons to not do them, and legit ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, hey, we came up with this, and they'll say, you know what, that's too similar to this thing that we tried 18 months ago that didn't work.
Right.
And it's like, you know what, we've already got something in development with the, like, so it's like they've always had a legit reason not to do something. And, it's also affiliated with Warner Horizon Production Company. If they own a property overseas that's similar, you can't do it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, like, there's all these, like, we literally have to go through three hurdles. You got to get Conan's approval, Warner Horizon's approval, TBS's. Like, it's all got to be.
Right.
And then four people have to go, yes, and then get to work on it.
Right.
So it's been.
It's a miracle anything gets made.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, but we have an idea right now that it appears that everybody is on board with. So we will probably get to work on that probably in a couple of weeks.
Have you ever done a sitcom?
Situation comedy?
Yes.
You mean for myself?
Yes.
Like the Jimmy Pardo show?
Yeah.
No.
See, okay, I'm kind of glad you said no, because when you said he was working on a new show, I was like, surely to God, there's no way Jimmy could do a sitcom. I just feel like you're only because I feel like you're too quick. You're too cerebral. There's no way that could translate in
that
to
would be
a situation
that would
comedy.
Be a tough one. Where the Jimmy Pardo show, and you would be a father and a
there's
husband.
No, yeah.
But make no mistake, if they came to me tomorrow and said,
you'd figure it out.
You're in.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a brand new show. So-and-so is the star, and you're right. The boss, and we're about to do 22 episodes, and you get to say six lines a week.
Yeah.
And
oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
And 100 episodes, and then kick your feet up. I'm so
right.
Fucking
loot.
Kidding
me?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I have that Gaffigan money. To tweet out, where should I have lunch?
Watch
whatever you want.
Watch this. Gaffigan has a show. I hadn't heard about it.
Oh, is that right? Did you hear about Mark Maron had the president on his podcast?
I did hear about that.
You didn't hear about Gavin having a show?
Yeah, I think Tom.
I love Jim. I love Mark.
Okay. I love them both as well.
We love them. We love everyone.
There are. I guess Amy Schumer's doing okay as well.
I saw that movie, and I did not care. I did not care for it. There's this week's GQ.
I know
that you haven't seen it.
Do you know that this is like the real? This is a real bikini?
And apparently...
it is the real thing.
Star Wars
Star
people
Wars?
Are very upset about it.
That's what I... Okay, really? So that's what I thought. I thought that this is...
They didn't get approval.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's out there? Lucas...
Yeah, they're. I think there's some
like
sort
of... That's like pissing off God,
it's not
right?
Lucas anymore. It's
no,
Disney.
No, it's Disney.
That's like pissing off God,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, bigger God. Well, whatever your God looks like to you.
What is it? The higher power of your own interpretation?
That's right.
That's right.
Your higher power could be a rock.
Can I quote Gary Lucio? I just mentioned.
Hold on, let me Google that name.
He's a writer.
He issued a tweet, and by the way, I have not seen Trainwreck, but the reason we're making fun of Jim Gaffigan and Mark Maron, and then I brought Amy Schumer is like, everybody, those are like the three people everybody's
right.
talking about
right now.
Yes. In comedy.
Yeah.
They're
right
very so, successful sure. right
his
now.
His tweet was: we had a week of weather in L.A. where it was humid, and it's never humid. And so it was like 97 and humid. Mm. And so his tweet was, 5 days of 97 and humid is all anybody will talk about. In other words, Amy Schumer weather. And it was that's a perfect joke.
Yeah. That is a good joke.
Yeah. Because it is. It's like you can't go anywhere without somebody. And I think her TV show is fantastic. I think it's.
I haven't seen a second of it.
Oh, you got to watch Chick, honest to God, the 12 Angry Men. Episode
really
is
the Henry Fonda movie. She redoes it. Okay,
I'm not kidding. It might be the best half hour.
No kidding.
That we've seen on television in ages.
I'm watching it later today.
It is so well done.
Okay.
And I love Veep. And I love
Veep.
Silicon Valley. And I love Fresh Off the Boat or whatever. But I laugh harder at Veep. I laugh at anything. That half hour is flawless.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's great.
So, and you're doing, I saw that, and I was very excited for you. I don't know how you got this done, but it looks like you're doing. He's looking at me with a funny face.
Uh-huh.
You're doing Match Game again at UCB?
We did three shows last week of Match Game at the UCB.
So how did that, how did you get that by the Match Game?
Here's,
because I know there was a problem, them saying you can't do that.
That's anymore. Right. Yeah. The UCB is celebrating their 10th anniversary.
And here's a question. Maybe I'm a stupid fucking hillbilly. Why doesn't some network say, hey, let's have Jimmy Pardo host the Match Game on TV and sell commercials on it. We'll all get rich. Why hasn't someone...
Blank knows. Who knows?
You're perfect for that
show.
Let's
talk about it off the air.
Oh, okay.
I'll answer your other question, though.
Okay. Off the air.
UCB. Off the air. O-T-A-O-T-A.
My point is, I'm going to come to Los Angeles at one of these.
Okay, you keep threatening
one
to
of these
do
fucking
this.
Days, and I'm going to sleep on your couch.
No, there's plenty of hotels in the area.
Mm-hmm.
My father stays at a hotel.
That was so funny. That one day he thought I was serious when I was saying he got this. You got this look.
Did
on
I get
your
a
face.
Little?
That like nerve.
Holy
yeah.
Shit! I can't have Chick McGee staying at my house. What the fuck he's talking?
Oh my God! I hate for anyone to stay at my house.
Hate it.
Hate
yes.
it. Hate it.
Although we both
no
had,
one.
We when we had a house together and when we had houses separately. We've both hosted Bob Zaney, so
yeah.
But if you can believe that or not,
well, you're nice people.
Yeah,
I can't.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
My little sister came over. She's 19. Called me at 10 o'clock at night. Can I spend the night? I need to spend the night. I'm going somewhere in the morning, and I don't want my friend to have to drive and pick me up in my house. Yeah, you can come spend the night. Kid you not. I'm already in bed. She comes in. Hey. Where are your razors? I need to shave my legs. Where are your razors? I go, are you fucking serious?
What time is it?
She was like, yeah. So I said,
it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
I said, they're in my bathroom in the left hand drawer. Turns on all the lights, opens the door. Sis, they're not in here. Sis, they're not in here. And
well,
then
let me get the
use
fuck
the
out.
Razor. And then takes it out and then leaves it on the counter like I'm gonna use it. Like, oh, here's the one I used instead of just putting it in the garbage. And she's 19, but
That story, I'm not kidding. That literally, that
it makes
that,
you
that
it,
75 second story is exactly why I don't like having people stay with me. And I only have like my dad or whatever would stay.
Wait, hold. So I can't stay.
So that absolutely is a no.
That's a no. Okay. All right. So anyway, when I do, will I be?
Chick
able to
has
see
people stay at his house all the time.
Jimmy,
he's sad and lonely. Of course he does. They're on suicide watch.
I'm not going to argue that.
He's not supposed to know that.
So, Matt, so are you going to do Matt's
game? Here's what happened.
Okay.
Shut up.
UCB came. They said, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. We want to do some of our favorite shows. Would you guys want to do Match Game? And I talked with Scott Aukman. He and I used to produce them. And I said, you know, if we're going to do it, let's do it all week. Let's do like they used to do on television, where we do a week of shows.
Absolutely.
And we get, and that buzzes back one time only, boom. And then I was coming here. And so we could only do three nights. We did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And they sold out. Every night sold out literally in a minute.
Oh.
And it was three nights of fun. And it was great. And Matt Besser was on it. Matt's one of the original, you know, he created the UCB Theater with the other, with Matt and Amy.
Right.
And
Ackerman.
No, damn it.
Ian.
Ian
Matt,
Roberts.
Matt Walsh.
Matt Walsh, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, and Amy Poehler. And so Matt was on the panel. Matt Besser was on the panel the first night. And it was very nice. He very publicly said, you know, Comedy Bang Bang was very important to UCB.
Right.
He said, but whenever we have our meetings, we all talk about how Match Game was the one thing that made our theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the thing that combined, that was exactly what we wanted. It combined, it proved that stand-ups and sketch people and improvisers could all work together.
Mm. Right.
And that was, Match Game is the UCB.
Right.
And it was very nice of him to say it publicly. And I agree that it did, because it brought a buzz and an excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, the line was wrapped around the block.
Wow.
With people hoping to get in
to get
on a standby
in. Yeah.
List.
Yeah.
It was, it was 3 days of greatness. I don't know if we're going to do it again. Probably not. It was really kind of a neat lightning in a bottle. Cut to, we do it every night. But but it was great fun.
But even like annually, that seems like that would be something fun to do.
Well, you know, legally we don't have the right to do it.
Right. Okay.
So
sorry.
Our thought was, even if they shut us down this time, it's okay. We're only going to do it three times.
Right.
And if they shut us down, you know, they're not going to find out until after the second one.
Right.
So they would go, you guys can't do it anymore. And we'd go, oh, okay, we'll just do it tonight. Then we promise we'll stop. You know,
what would the process be of getting the rights?
Isn't that where, is the match?
Okay.
Yeah. It's that. But is the Match Game the one where the golden girl and her met her husband? Is that that one?
No, that was Password.
That's Password.
Password.
Oh,
okay.
He's starting to speak Jess. I like this. The golden girl, Betty White, met Alan Ludden, who hosted Password. She's not that hard to read.
No, it's like.
It takes some time.
It's like a Mad Lib. Yeah.
What was the show? You made me think of something. Bobby Van hosted, what was it? Not Tattletales.
No.
No, I thought it was Bert Convy.
Bert Convy hosted Tattletales. You're right.
Oh, Make Me Laugh.
The
Bobby
Banana
Van
Section.
Hosted Make Me Laugh.
Make Me Laugh.
He died.
I fucking dare you. Was the rest of that title.
And then he died.
And he left about the right time.
No, you know how old he was when he died?
Oh.
How old?
51. He died of a brain aneurysm. You know how old they thought he was? Until I think it was yesterday he died at 51.
I thought he was 70. I was like,
I did. I thought he was 70 years old because as a kid,
he looked amazing.
He looked amazing.
Didn't look good. He did look good. Well, he's 51, Jimmy.
Oh, he looks like hell then. He had a brain aneurysm. He died. His head exploded.
That's awful.
He was married to Elaine Joyce.
Beautiful. Little dimples. I think
very
dimples.
Beautiful Elaine Joyce. Famous for?
Yeah, somebody's going to have to help.
Nothing.
Me. Oh, okay.
Elaine Joyce wasn't in anything that I'm aware of.
Maybe a Broadway? Maybe she did theater?
Dancer.
But she was
dancer.
Dancer. I bet she was a dancer. Yeah.
You think she was a dancer?
Oh,
kind of a Juliet Prowse kind of a.
Juliet Prowse?
Really?
Kind of a, yeah.
Who starred in the prime of Miss Jean Brody? Who was that?
I want to say Jean Smith. No, is that right?
She's Australian?
Who?
Eileen Joyce?
Elaine Joyce.
Elaine Joyce. Well, that's,
Elaine.
But Eileen Joyce is.
Oh, are you talking about the Australian Eileen Joyce?
I'm sorry, what was I looking up? The prime of Miss Jean Brody.
The prime of Miss Jean Brody.
I wish Garen were here. He'd look all this up.
Who?
I'll do my Garen impersonation.
Garen is my,
okay, ready?
Yes.
She was on all these games?
Well,
the Match Game and the Dating Game.
Prime of Miss Jean Brody.
Or no, that was her husband.
Jesse's doing an impression.
1969.
Sorry.
And it was Maggie Smith.
Oh, great. Thank you, Garen. That's Garen Cockrell, really, the Pop Culture Reads Info Desk. That's my
my favorite part, though, is when they ask him to look up something. Why doesn't he keep the mic in front of him? Is that something Matt doesn't want him to do?
Because
it always that. Jimmy goes, look that up, Garen, and then he gets the answer. Garen, you have the answer, and you'll hear this. He grabs the mic.
Oh, he does?
He pulls it over to him, and he goes, oh, yeah, the 1969.
Well, we don't want the mic open because it
God knows what he might say.
An echoey and a buzz.
Okay, I got you then. Okay, so, okay, I understand. It makes sense.
And also, you know what? I think there's a rawness to it.
I love it. It's warm and fuzzy. It's wonderful. It's one of those things that makes you feel like you're a member of a club.
Thank you. Let's check in with Jess over at the Pop Culture Beast Info Desk. Jess, Elaine Joyce was famous for?
I think it was Days of Our Lives and The Young and the Restless.
She was a soap opera actress?
What?
But before that, she was an extra in The Music Man, Bye Bye Birdie, Funny Girl. But it says that she had reoccurring roles in The Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives.
Wow.
Made guest appearances in Andy Griffith, The Red Skelton Show.
She was on Andy Griffith.
Uh-huh. I didn't know that.
American Style, Green Acres, Hawaii 5-0, The Feather and the Father Gang.
So she was a working actress.
She was.
Feather and Father Gang, Stephanie Powers and Harold Gould. They were a con family. And they would, it was right after The Sting, I think, is why they put the TV show on.
Was it good?
I loved it.
I don't remember it at all.
I love Harold Gould. He had a great voice.
City of Angels. Gang. City of Angels. Do you remember this television show? She was a ditzy secretary.
Wayne Rogers was the
private eye.
City of Angels, yeah.
Yeah.
That was after MASH, I think.
Wow.
It had to be. You can't put a workload like that on a guy. City of Angels and MASH. He'd be at the studio all day and all night.
You can't put a workload like that on a guy.
You can't do.
Mr. Merlin?
I don't remember that
No.
one.
Oh, I think she was. I think she might have been the star of that, right? Wasn't she like the...
She had another sorcerer, whatever that
no,
is.
No, I guess not.
No, okay.
Second sorcerer. Yeah,
sorcerer number two.
I guess that's not star.
Sorcerer
but she was in
number
Beverly
two.
Hills 90210, Melrose Place, Magnum P.I.
She was?
Simon and Simon, Too Close for Comfort, Murder, She Wrote.
Bullshit. Yes.
She was also on Broadway. You were right.
Okay, there we go.
Sugar in Some Like It Hot.
Hmm.
On Broadway?
Yeah. Yeah.
She might have won a Tony for Sugar, now that I'm thinking about that.
She didn't win any awards.
No, not an award. There's not an award.
Hey, Joyce is an award-winning actress.
All right, one more question, and I think this is what people want to know. It just struck me, and I don't know why this is never... You probably, because Seinfeld has said, you know, I get
she
up
every... She hung out with J.D. Salinger? I'm sorry, I got to keep reading it now. No?
Hang on. Was I talking?
Oh, sorry.
Jess, you know I don't like to get in the middle of you guys. It did sound like he was talking. But in fairness, it is. Elaine Joyce's life is fascinating.
I can't stop reading now.
You know, I'm not gonna lie. She should have won some sort of Nobel Prize or something.
This woman?
So
Elaine Joyce.
She is not an award
winner.
So
who is Bobby Van?
Bobby Van was her husband.
Bobby Van.
And
was
he died
her
of brain cancer.
Yeah, he had an aneurysm.
But you made it sound like it was yesterday. It was in 1980.
Yes, he was 51 years old.
In 1980.
Yes. But my point was, I thought he was 70 when he died.
He looked great.
She was performing at a dinner theater, and J.D. Salinger came just to see her in the dinner theater, they hung out.
She's hot. She got that little ass swishes around.
J.D. Salinger, he's kind of the shit.
She's been married to playwright Neil Simon since 1999.
Oh,
well,
wait,
not
what?
Oh.
Well, not anymore. Yeah, we
Neil won. Simon married Elaine Joyce?
In 1999.
I didn't know that.
How do we not know that?
I don't know, but see, you're trying to talk, and I'm trying
like
to educate
you.
It
something you and I should know.
That
yeah,
does seem
it does.
Like
so. That's
are you
bizarre.
Sure? Well, you want to cite your source?
You know how I get Neil Simon and Simon and Garfunkel mixed up.
Neil Simon and Paul Simon.
Yeah. Well,
Paul
Neil Simon.
Paul Simon's married
I thought
to
it was the same guy for
Edie Burkell.
Until like a year ago, I thought it was the same guy.
What about Paul Simon, the senator? How's he playing into this?
Got the big ears and the bow tie.
Yeah.
From Illinois.
She's been married to playwright Neil Simon since September 1999. Is Neil Simon dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why you guys keep saying
that. Is
that
confirmed?
Neil Simon died?
That's a confirmed death?
Nope. Neil Simon is very much not dead.
I didn't think he was.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Doesn't say anything about Neil Simon and a bear attack in there?
No.
Nothing? Not a thing? Are you sure?
He's born on the 4th of July, though.
So is Tom Cruise.
In the words of Jimmy Pardo, what a shit movie that
was. Right?
Oh,
yeah, they're
my
still
God.
Married. They're still married.
And I'm not a Tom Cruise. I like Tom Cruise.
So how old is Elaine Joyce?
Let me guess.
Okay.
Hang on. The great Bobby Van died in 1980 at 51, which means he was born in 1930.
Okay.
Is that right? Is that math?
30 to 81. 51 years, Jimmy.
Yep.
Wait, hang on. Hey! Wait a minute. He died at 51 in 1980? How old would he be now? I can't do that math even.
Well, in 81, so he was, he'd be 86?
No, 96.
96? Fuck, 96.
Bobby Van was born in 1928.
What the fuck?
Well, hell.
What a weird sentence that is. Wait, so 28, 48, 58, 68, yeah, right, 78, right, right, 88, right. 98, 08, 18.
80.
So he'd only be 78?
Yeah.
No, that can't be right. My mom was born
98.
He'd be 98. So he'd be dead already anyway.
Right.
So that, so you know what?
No, wait a minute. He was born in 28, so in 13 more years, he'd be 100.
Right.
So he was 87.
You guys are good with the math.
Jesus Christ. What's happening? Why are our brains crumbling? Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, Elaine Joyce is. Elaine Joyce.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
All right, Elaine Joyce.
Okay, I'm guessing when they got married, she was much younger than him because that's the way hot guys do this.
Was he hot?
He was considered handsome.
He was a handsome guy.
Yeah, he kind of has that like.
So in 81, I'm going to say she was 30. So I'm going to say she's late 60s.
Right. I'm going to say she's my mother's age. I'm going to go with 69.
She is 69 years old.
Ladies and gentlemen. Good night, everybody. This is the greatest magic trick I've ever seen in my life. Unbelievable.
December 19th, 1945.
But how old Doc? Everyone calls Neil Simon Doc. I want you guys to know that.
Oh, Neil Simon
is... How old is Doc? Doc's got to be 90-something.
Is there 88.
Is there a current picture of the two of them?
Current.
Doc and Elaine?
88 and 69. Thank you, Jim.
Up top, my brother. Now, listen. Know this. My mother's name is also Elaine, and she's also 69.
Wow.
Which leads me to believe
she should be,
my mother's Elaine Joyce. What?
She could be married to Doc.
That'd Doc be great.
Simon. Neil Simon is... Oh, Larry Gelbart died.
Yeah, we lost Larry Gelbart. Speaking of MASH.
Gelbart.
Hey, now.
So what I was going to say...
Is that current?
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
Oh, yeah, that looks like Elaine. It looks like a modern-day Elaine Joyce. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. That's her all
right. Right?
Let me see if she looks like hell.
You know what? She looks like just Beverly Hills. Like, yeah. she literally looks like Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Do you remember Michael Richards' character on Fridays, Beverly Hills?
No!
He used to talk like this! He'd pull up as a big blonde, hi, welcome to Hollywood!
I don't remember that.
Yeah, so there's 18-year age difference between them, right? Is that what we just said?
I'll never fucking
I don't know, something like that.
That'll never work, he says. Confirmed.
What did I say? How old is he?
He's 88.
She's 69. Okay.
19, almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, But when you're that old, does it matter? Yeah. Like, nobody thinks 20 years.
No, of course not.
But if she was 21.
And he was 41.
Weirdo.
Yeah.
Creep.
Game
Jackass.
Over. Yeah. That's
Jackass.
So but when they're both over 60, it's like they're the same age.
Let the old fogies do their thing.
Yeah.
They steal batteries and they get married to young kids. Right. Well, who cares?
Who steal batteries?
Old people. Here's my question to you, Jimmy.
You said old people. Like, I'm dumb for not knowing this. Old people.
They can steal batteries.
You guys still do the WGN show here?
Condiments. No, we were a victim of what you were in your show, actually.
Oh.
The regime went out and a new one came in and wanted to... I think it was partially they didn't care for our show, and it was partially they wanted to have situation comedies on there.
I thought it was very popular. Was it not popular?
We killed. We never
best did. In your time slot.
Everybody, we beat 3 out of the 4 news. We were on 11 o'clock in Indianapolis, 11 at night, and we beat all the newscasts except one here.
Really?
Yeah. We did very well.
But that one is really good news.
Oh, that's great.
They deliver the news better than anybody else in this town. That's a shame, because obviously it was just the radio show, but people enjoyed it. It was always fun in L.A. When it would pop on, because then I would get to see my friends.
Right.
You get to see you guys and get to see the comics run their mouths, and so it was it was neat.
Yeah.
Did you have a question? You pointed your finger like you were going to say
something. No, but Anne Marie Tiernan was getting her hair cut when I was getting my hair cut the other day. Did Christine tell you that?
She didn't. Anne Marie Tiernan is a news person here on
in Indianapolis.
Is that on that one that beat you?
She's on the TV news. Oh, you mean like beat me physically? Yeah, no, I think I could take Anne Marie Tiernan.
I heard a rumor that you got beat up by a news lady. Is there any truth to it?
No, I don't think there's any truth to that. My point was, here's my question. Jerry Seinfeld gets up every morning. I remembered. He goes to the office. He writes. He writes material. Mm-hmm. I don't think you write, do you? You don't write material.
I think that's insulting. Just judging by the look on his face, that looks like an insulting thing to say.
Because you're so fast and you're like so organic.
No, he's that good that you think it's that fast and that's...
Well, Jez, I appreciate you.
No, and I've seen you. I've seen you over the years, and I know that a lot of they're not a lot.
No, he knows that's what the people like. They want to think that it's a personal experience.
There's some hunks.
Not that it's not. Sorry, I feel like
there's some hunks in there that I recognize.
Behind, do not look at the man behind.
Do you want anybody to know this?
Can we just decide how you?
I tell stories, and like that. For instance, chick last night, the story that of me going to the movie theater. Take the other comedy movie theater.
My favorite line in that whole thing is, I do something nice, I take them out, I buy them lunch, I let them watch me buy a suit. I love that line. I love it.
Well, see, but that's an example. Like, I didn't sit down and write that. I told that story.
And it happened.
That line came into it. Made me laugh. Like, last night's second show,
yes.
I did a thing about...
The one I wasn't at, yeah.
Oh, it was so good. I said a line as Cajun Jimmy that I've never said before.
Oh, okay.
And it made me laugh, and it was like...
I love Cajun Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy.
Oh,
well, he got mad at his...
She always giggles at Cajun Jimmy.
Cajun Jimmy last night got mad at his wife because they went down and... Because Cajun Jimmy suggested... and this came up at the first show, but then I added to it the second one. The Cajun Jimmy suggested, you know, go down, you put your can good, you bring all your water, you bring down your microwave and your microwave popcorn. And my wife will always say to me, well, what if we lose power and we can't use the microwave? Well, then we nibble on the kernels. And chick, it was that fast last night for the first time ever, and I laughed. So like now that will be in the show every night,
right?
But so one could argue I'm writing on stage,
right?
And finding the new lines and new jokes,
right?
But if I sat down and went, now what would you bring down there? What would be crazy to bring down into a cellar if there's a storm coming? Oh, microwave. And then
but that would bore you. I would.
Oh, think. It would bore the shit out of me.
Right.
So,
right.
But to discover it on stage.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, do you have someone? Do you don't record everything?
I travel with a stenographer. And I have her sit out there, and I make her wear a costume, and she actually does use the steno machine.
And she was Jeff's wife for show.
Yes.
So we only got half of the show.
I only got half. Yes, only 50% was dead, which is why nothing will be used from that show.
Oh, my God.
You know what, chick? I'm angry at myself for this reason. I should tape every show. Because I'll say to, like, the MC, Brad Wilhelm, hey, Brad, write that kernel thing down. Well, he doesn't know if I mean it.
Brad Wilhelm was your MC last night?
That's right. Bloomington's own. Looks good. Lost a lot of weight.
He wore a white suit.
Well, a white suit, looking like he's sitting out there on
like
his,
a colonel
on his on his deck, and he's just watching the gentleman cut the weed. Let's cut those weeds today, Gerald. Weeds are getting a little they're getting taller than knee high.
Gerald.
Right, isn't that perfect? This is a perfect day for a guy cutting your lawn.
Come here, Gerald.
Come on, Gerald. Now the weeds are looking a little taller than we like around here, Gerald.
But Mr. Wilhelm,
that's Gerald.
Sass. That's not sass, Gerald.
Now, Gerald, you know it's nice enough that I let you come this close to the house.
I wish I only you guys so could, you could see how much they're enjoying this.
We do really enjoy each other.
Why don't we spend more time?
I don't care for you.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
That's why you guys get along so well.
Why?
Because you don't.
No, that's not an accurate statement.
Because you guys aren't together all the time.
We don't get along.
No. We do get. You're right. We couldn't do.
No, you
we
do get along.
Like, we couldn't act like this half the year.
No.
I see you once or twice a year. It's a joy.
Plenty. It is a joy. Where was Bob? Was he on vacation?
And it has been a joy.
Was he on vacation?
We have a list of stuff we need to talk about off the air. Okay. Well.
You're going to have to cut that out, huh?
Jimmy, thank you.
My honor.
JimmyPardo.com?
Yeah.
Never not funny. NeverNotFunny.com?
.com. Yeah, we got it.
How did they get to the Players Club? Because Never Not Funny.
Never Not Funny. It's right there on the front page. Right on the splash. Right on the front page.
Okay. You seem irritated by me, so I should probably.
Let's do this.
That's fine. Well, we just did this. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jimmy. Again, thank you.
My honor.
Thank you, Jazz.
Thank you.
I hope everyone enjoyed the Off the Air podcast, and be sure to mark this down on your calendars if you're in the gorgeous state of Indiana on Saturday, October.
How you doing?
October Saturday, August 8th, next Saturday. Next Saturday.
August 8th.
August 8th. Jess and I will be at the Indiana State Fair, as we always are.
August 8th.
At the Dairy Bar, and it starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All you need is your ticket to get into the fair.
And make your way to the Dairy Bar, and we'll be there doing the Off the Air podcast live, and there's going to be a lady there carving our bus. Well, Jess's bust and her head, and my head and cheese. We're going to have
happening.
Our visage for all time will be available in cheese. So that's Saturday, August 8th. Thank you, chickmcgee.com. Good night. Oh, good night, everybody. On and my car's in a ditch. Ain't that a bitch? My shoes in Nicaragua, my socks are crew. I got my hair slicked back so I can check out you. I got some nice shit to say and it sounds so good. You wanna write it down so when you're back in the hood, you can check back with it as you hit the pot, make sweet love to it all night.